Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Line at the top of prisonplanet.com that everybody should go read. Salente predicts revolution, food riots, tax rebellions by 2012. The British government also predicts that by 2011. The U.S. government has been predicting that. I want to be clear here. It is not Alex Jones that is predicting all of this. I am simply covering what the mainstream media is saying is going to happen. Just like I said that martial law, we're being eased into martial law. I said that in articles we wrote back in the late 1990s. I've been saying that all year long. And my detractors go out deceptively, knowing the general public isn't paying attention, and say, look, Alex Jones said that George Bush was going to declare martial law and suspend the election when I actually had Naomi Wolf and all the rest of the liberals on, going, don't you understand? Presidents are puppets. These new powers given to the president, these new police state powers, these unfounded usurpations of liberty and freedom, these acts of treason will be passed on to the next president, and it's bipartisan. Just like I said, Bill Clinton is a puppet. You will only see things get worse under George Bush. Now you will see them get worse under Barack H. Obama. But it doesn't matter. And it isn't about Alex Jones. I don't care if people make stuff up and say I'm a liar. The point is that it deceives other people and keeps us from turning things around. You know, we told you they were going to devalue the currency. We told you they were going to create massive inflation and plunge the stock market and kill the economy. And we told you how it would start with a subprime mortgage years before it became even a news item. Because we have the sources. We go to the elite meetings. We cover them. When no one else does. You know, we know what's happening. We know what's coming. We understand. I mean, it's not hard. When you go to an urban warfare drill a decade ago and you witness troops training to confiscate our guns and admitting it on videotape, there you are. I mean, this is what's been going on under the surface. Now it's like a cold sore rising to the surface so people can see it. We're under martial law. When private banks have governmental power and use the executive to threaten the House of Representatives with martial law if they don't pass a banker takeover bill. Now, 5 weeks, almost 6 weeks later, they are coming out and saying, oh, we're changing the rules of the bailout. And they keep using the $700 billion term when AP, Bloomberg, the Congress, Ron Paul are all saying it's really $5 trillion. And already spent, and $2 trillion of that, and counting every day, hundreds of billions, the Federal Reserve says we're private, we're above the law, and we are not going to tell you where it went, your money. Now that's on Lair News Hour, not here. But instead of the American people trained to be decadent slobs, trained to live in denial, instead of saying, man, Ron Paul and Alex Jones and Bob Chapman and all these other individuals were right, instead of saying, man, Red Beckman was right, or Bob Schultz was right, or instead of saying, you know, the countless thousands of patriots that understood history, that read. I heard Derry Brownfield this morning on the Genesis Network before me, driving into work on 90.1. I heard him saying, you know, reading from what, Money Magazine in 1988, about how there would be international currency crises after the year 2000, and how then they would have a new Bretton Woods and call for a global banking system to control the world's currencies, and you would still have your national currency, but it would be internationally pegged and internationally controlled. So it's really a global currency. It just has your local look. I mean, all we did was read the Trilateral Commission's promise to do this. All we did was tell you what the elite said they were going to do. And instead, people do mental gymnastics to deny what's happening and going on. Huge broadcast lined up today. Stay with us. The websites are Infowars.net, PrisonPlanet.tv, and DronesReport.com, TruthNews.us.
Hello, friends. This is Alex Jones. I've told you for a long time it's important to be self-sufficient, and today that's more important than ever. We need to be independent, and food and water is the key. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. You'll never have to go to the Superdome and beg for FEMA to take care of your family in any emergency if you simply prepare. Our elected representatives wanted a good old boy bailout for the special interest, so they ignored your screams not to do it. They turned off the telephones and email. They voted to print $850 billion at least out of thin air. This money now owns the American and European banks. The exploding inflation that is now guaranteed will slash your life savings to nothing and blast the cost of necessities, particularly food, beyond many Americans' reach. In pre-Nazi Germany superinflation, the cost of a loaf of bread doubled every 2 days until it reached over 4 billion marks. Food prices are skyrocketing so fast, there seems as if there may be no end in sight. The private banks, merging with our government, are refusing to loan grocery stores enough money to restock their shelves. The stores have less food, but jack up prices to stay in business. Whatever happens in America, we need to be prepared and be ready. Everything is zeroing in on food. One-third of Americans have to choose between buying food and paying for other necessities. My friends, whatever it takes, get prepared, get self-sufficient, get food. And for everybody out there listening, it's very important for you to understand that by having a supply of storable food, the government, the New World Order, has a lot less control over you. And so it's a mindset of self-sufficiency and preparedness. No one is going to take care of your family in the final equation but you. You know eFoodsDirect.com is still able to ship storable food that's safe from E. coli, salmonella, genetic alteration, or Chinese imports. And they do it at almost half the cost of last year's grocery prices. Call 1-800-409-5633 or on the web, go to eFoodsDirect.com. Visit eFoodsDirect.com and look over the fine list of high-quality, freeze-dried, and dehydrated foods they have to offer. Watch the free videos, look at their online catalog, or give them a call at 1-800-409-5633. Again, 800-409-5633 or on the web at eFoodsDirect.com. Take action today. The first step is getting storable food.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
The number one message we have got to get out to everyone worldwide is that the United States, Europe, Canada, Australia, New Zealand are completely and totally seized by private banking interests controlling our governments. They also, by financing and paying off the different branches of government, have had government illegitimately give these private institutions governmental powers. Kind of like in England or Germany or Russia, a rich banker could go with, you know, 1 million ounces of gold or a couple of chests of rubies or diamonds and buy a barony, buy title, and then be made a lord or a baron or a viscount. And that's exactly what's going on. And it wasn't just that they wanted the title, lands, or the palaces. It was that they wanted the power and the above-the-law nature of it. Because they never really changed English law. They only partially changed it after Magna Carta. And now, as Tony Blair, when he first got elected in 97, said, I overturned Magna Carta. And he did it through executive fiat, just as the kings had done previously to 1215. And he said, through the queen, I'll never forget it in the BBC, it was a declaration of war against the people. He said, we hereby abolish Magna Carta under the directive of the queen. Go pull those stories up. He went into the parliament. People were gasping, but that was it. The cameras, the face scanners, the police state, the secret arrest, all of it accelerated. The gun confiscation. And that's all this is that we have an international elite waging war on the population. Worldwide, they are depressing the real economy by cutting off liquidity, cutting off financing, cutting off currency to the entire world. So you have a depression in the real economy, a plunging, but only for now, of many commodities, especially oil, down to like $55 a barrel right now. You know what the price is this morning in the United States for wholesale 87 octane? Do you know what the gas stations on average are paying out of the gas trucks? $1.20. And then they add the taxes and the rest of it on top. So you're paying two something. But the point is, that is meant to kill Venezuela, kill Russia, kill the Middle East, drive everybody into bankruptcy. They tricked the Arab imams. They tricked the sovereign wealth families. They tricked the middle class of the planet and a lot of the nouveau riche and a lot of the sovereign wealth that isn't part of the inner Anglo-American elite into investing in hedge funds, into investing in these cash machines where you get 15, 20% interest every year investing in imaginary derivatives. And at the key point, the New World Order, as we told you almost 3 years ago, I went to Canada, I got detained for 15 hours, I got screamed at and cussed at and told, you're going to go to prison if you try to go cover the Bilderberg Group. Are you planning to attack the conference? We're going to put you in a Canadian prison. Don't believe me? Google it. It was all over Canadian news. Only reason I got out. And then we went and we had our sources inside and we said they're going to pop in 2008 the subprime mortgage by design to start a global implosion so they can consolidate. And Daniel Estulin said you're going to see the worldwide economy implode because they want people to be feudal serfs and to be bankrupted. Go watch Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement. Watch the hour extras. Watch Endgame 1.5 at PrisonPlanet.tv, over an hour and a half of the extended interviews as Daniel Estulin and Jim Tucker and myself, and separate from them, Dr. Michael Kaufman, with the documents and with the internal sources, tell you exactly what is going to happen, and it happens exactly like we tell you. We don't make broad predictions. We make precision predictions. We make precise predictions because we're not predicting anything. You know, I hate to knock myself down a peg here, but it's just like I go outside and see big thunderclouds rolling towards me with rain falling a mile away, and I walk in and say, honey, rain is on its way. You better go close your truck's windows. Or give me your keys. Where are they? A storm is blowing in. Or, oh, News 8 Austin is reporting hail is falling in central Austin coming south. We better go park our cars in the garage. And then when the hail comes, you know, my wife doesn't run up and say, you're some type of psychic. You, how did you know? No, I mean, it was hail. It was coming. I mean, all I'm doing is telling you. And so now that we've broken down what they're doing and what they're carrying out, people all over the message boards at PrisonPlanet.com, message board, on the comments, on the stories, on Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, we'll post a story, write a story like this one. Salente predicts revolution, food riots, tax rebellion by 2012. And the reason I'm talking about this is it goes to the mentality of why we can't turn this around and why the New World Order is moving against our society. Because the establishment knows we have a willful denial population. And this guy, the Trends Research Institute, has got about a 97% accuracy rate in predicting things. And he specifically predicts down to the month when things are going to happen. And so what do they say about Salente and myself and others? They go into the comments and they say, oh, it's easy. I could predict there'd be an earthquake in the next 3 years, and then, of course, there's going to be one. Or it's easy. I can predict there's going to be a war, and, of course, in the next 3 years, 4 years, there'll be a war. He doesn't predict that. He predicted 2 years ago that there would be a giant housing bubble crash and that there would be runs on commodities and runs on derivatives. And he specifically predicted, not that it was hard, I mean, globalist publications and insider publications, where they're not talking to the public, they're talking to themselves. They're not secret documents, but they're not widely distributed. It all stated what was happening. I'm going to get this guy on the show. But instead of going, hey, we better listen to the British Ministry of Defense saying their job will be to suppress rioting populations in the next 4 years. That was last year. Or we better listen, you know, to the fact that these top trends experts and futurists have been predicting exactly what happens in the past. They're predicting this now. Instead of saying, hey, let's have a debate about that, they just say, you're a bunch of lying kooks making it all up. Or I talk about how they would incrementally put more people in prison, build more FEMA camps, have more federally funded checkpoints. I talked about how they'd use the Patriot Act in non-terror-related cases. I talked about how they train our children to tattletale on the parents. I talked about how they would introduce incrementally citizen tattletale brigades. I predicted, because I was reading what the federal government said they were going to do, I wasn't predicting anything. We were posting the document showing you what they'd said. And people just say, you're a liar, it isn't real. None of it's real. I mean, they're openly this weekend meeting to set out the framework for the next 2 years to devalue the world's currencies simultaneously. That's already happening. The dollar hasn't risen 10 cents from the 60 cents it lost. Other world currencies have dropped on average by about 20% in the last 6 months. And if you actually read the financial publications, they admit that. It isn't that the dollar rose worldwide, the banks in concert together, the big private central banks, the private owners of our economies, they are devaluing the currency simultaneously. And they're meeting to openly set up world government run for and by the banks, and you will pay carbon taxes and regulations and money transfer taxes to private banks now operating as world government. That is in the Times of London, AFP, Reuters. I mean, it's in hundreds of publications a day now. It's everywhere. They're calling it a new world order. There's Rothschilds all over TV bragging that it's a, quote, world government. Word for word, and still the public invested in denying, the public invested in saying we were liars, the public invested in saying there was no problem mentally. And so just like a George Bush supporter, like I said yesterday, who still believes WMDs were in Iraq, 30% of the public or more, depending on the poll, you got 30, 40% of the public, Democrats and Republicans, who were invested in the fraud, and so they can't even admit that trillions are being stolen by private banks right now with the banker takeover bill. And I know I spend a lot of time focusing on their denial because all of us are in denial to certain degrees about everything. I'm in denial about not leading a healthy lifestyle compared to what I should do. I'm in denial about my work ethic, working too much, and then when I am working, not managing my time right or focusing. There's a lot of things. We're all in denial. But it has to stop, folks. It's too dangerous what we're going into. Because here's the deal. If you stay in denial and let this get worse, and by denial, a lot of you know what's going on, but you just are procrastinating. That's a form of denial. You're not taking action. If you don't take action, if we all don't take action in little ways every day, they're going to win. They're going to get the next phase, the next step in their operation completed. And I'll tell you what that is when we get back into a bunch of news, a bunch of clips.
While you were sleeping, they came and took it all away. The lanes and the meadows, the places where you used to play.
To get out of our denial, we're going to turn our world around. Harold Salente, the CEO of Trends Research Institute, is renowned for his accuracy in predicting future world economic events, which will send a chill down your spine considering what he told Fox News last week. That's coming up in the next segment. Salente says that by 2012, America will become an undeveloped nation, that there will be revolution marked by food riots, squatter rebellions, tax revolts, and job marches, and the holidays will be more about obtaining food, not gifts. He also told UPI in an interview that this has been a bloodless coup by Wall Street. They have taken over the government completely, criminally. and that you're going to see a middle-class physical rebellion against them because the middle class is not going to have a choice. This was echoed last year by a British Ministry of Defense report, but they said their job will be suppressing the middle class and ensuring that we are enslaved. They even say that we try to take any capitals and remove the criminal government, the armies. The British and U.S. Army are going to use neutron bombs on us. That's right. The neutron weapons that won't destroy the infrastructure are for us. They will kill all life forms 200 feet below even the surface of the Earth with an average neutron detonation over a city the size of Chicago. That's what the neutron bombs are for. They have enough for every city. The elite have openly stated that they will take us down and soft kill weapon us with the chemicals in the food, the mercury in the vaccines, what they're spraying in the air. And any revolts, any trying to wriggle out of it, will be responded to. Now, you say the Army won't carry that out, and you're right. That's why by 2012, half the Air Force will be drone, and they're even phasing out human pilots where they run pre-programmed operations, and then a few hundred elitists with the pre-programmed AI computer interfaces will be able to launch an attack, which, of course, could kill the entire population of the world, if they so choose, or just kill certain cities. See, folks, we're not joking around here on this show. This is what we face. And I want the police and the military and all of you to grow up and to look at the documents that your own bosses are writing up and realize that you're only there to orderly feed us into the meat grinder, and then there's a group right behind you to orderly feed you into the meat grinder. And then a group to feed them into the meat grinder, just like Stalin and Hitler and every other one did. But this is high tech. This is Moonraker. People love to have analogies or parallels through movies. Go watch Moonraker. But they aren't planning to run off to a space station while they kill us with a biological weapon and then repopulate the Earth with the Ubermen. No, they plan to go to underground bases while they kill us. Now, I'm not saying they're even ever going to carry this out. I'm saying they're powerful. They have all the money. They control the issuance of money. And the elite are saying it, not me. So we're only in an early phase of this while they're got the world all into the stock market, pulled the rug out from under them. They're squeezing down the market so they can consolidate the markets with vertical integration. Pose as the saviors while they loot the treasuries blind and then claim the populations of the West owe these tens of trillions of dollars to the very private banks that were paid the money. That's right. We pay the taxes and we suffer the currency devaluation for the pleasure of paying them the money to buy up our farms, our ranches, our roads, our governments, our infrastructure. I can't stress that enough. And again, it's cold-blooded. I mean, if you were a cold-blooded robot, you know, a war game computer, and your job was to consolidate power in the hands of a small group of families, and you were programmed to do that, and you had a control grid, a interlink of cameras, systems. Again, I'm simplifying this for analogy. What would you do? Well, you would go through, you know, the safest battle plan, the safest chess game would be just a, you know, slow march with safe moves to ensure that no one struggled out of your net. You would brainwash the public, get them to disengage from media and culture and only be spectators, to be programmed by the upper culture, to be mindless, dumb sloths, where being an idiot is cute and funny and being mindless and greedy, you know, is neat, and not caring about your neighbor is cool, so nobody cares about you. You get people in massive debt, you poison them, you brainwash them, you dumb them down, you terrify them with terrorism to accept living in a police state, you herd them into compact cities, then you have even worse financial collapses, controlled bioweapons releases, which again you always blame on foreign enemies, which is then the excuse to attack those foreign enemies while at the same time attacking your domestic slave population. We're all enemies of the New World Order. They see us as an enemy, they're attacking us all.
I was a highwayman along the coach roads. did right.
I just can't believe that so much of the public is bored.
By my side.
People claim that they want to kill time.
A young maid lost her father.
Their life has no point. And we're out here on a beautiful planet, spinning around a gorgeous sun, cold depths of space, the heavens around us.
The masters hung me in the
they enfold us. We are part of the universe, part of the timeless void. The oceans, the trees, the atmosphere, our families, all the people, humanity, the line that reaches back into antiquity and into the prehistoric. And as we look forward into the line of humans, we live on through the species. That's why it angers me and pains me deep in my heart, my soul, my basic programming, to see the human-animal hybrids, the part human, part insect, the part human, part pig, part human, part cow, part human, part dog, to see the human genetics being put in foods we eat, mixed with cockroach genes, fish genes, you name it. And then the public denying it even exists, irrevocable damage to the ancient biosphere on the planet, true environmental crises mounting. Meanwhile, the public has been suckered into, at least about half of them, into believing that carbon dioxide is deadly poison and must be taxed so the elite can divert us into something that won't help the environment. While they go on destroying it, saying they don't care, they're going to rebuild it. The elite believing they're God, believing they're going to remake the planet in their horrid image. All right, here's some of the news I've got, and I'm going to get into all these clips. And open phones today. We do have Bob Chapman for his once-a-week vision on the economy in the fourth hour today. And Colonel Craig Roberts, they're getting into the police state, martial law, how to deal with it if society breaks down. He was a highly decorated Marine Corps sniper, also retired as an Army intelligence colonel. Then, of course, in his years out of the military, was a SWAT team commander, helicopter pilot, police pilot, investigated the federal bombing by the feds of OKC, investigated the murder of police and others who investigated that, the torture and then murder of good cops. So he'll be joining us coming up in an hour. We'll take calls before he joins us at 1-800-259-9231. First-time callers, go to the head of the line. Just tell us your first-time caller, 1-800-259-9231. But Salente predicts revolution, food riots, tax rebellions by 2012. And in this Fox clip, he says a lot, but in an interview with UPI, he said, there will be a revolution in this country. He said, it's not going to come yet, but it's going to come down the line. And we're going to see a third party, and this will be the catalyst for it. The takeover of Washington, D.C. in broad daylight by the Wall Street in this bloodless coup. Talking about what happened 6 weeks ago. It's almost 6 weeks now. And it will happen as conditions continue to worsen. The first thing to do is to organize with tax revolts. That's going to be the big one because people can't afford to pay more school tax, property tax, any kind of tax. You're going to start seeing those kinds of protests start to develop. The first thing to do is to organize tax revolts. And it goes on. It's going to be very, very bleak, very sad, and there's going to be a lot of homeless, the likes of which you've never seen before. Tent cities are already sprouting up around the country, and we're going to see many more. And he went on from there, and he's just made so many incredible predictions that are accurate and right. You know, people do listen to folks that have been right in the past, and we don't have the time, the energy to go back and find all the hundreds of accurate predictions we made. Not even predictions, where I read what the Club of Rome, CFR, Trilateral Commission said they'd do 10 years ago, 6 years ago, 2 years ago, a month ago. So we're going to, maybe listeners can grab those and post them and bring them to our attention. We just don't have the staff. We're too busy covering what's happening right now. But that is a way to wake up some sheeple. In other news, I told you that they would give you a national ID card in the name of stopping illegal aliens while doing nothing but having a few highly publicized raids, arresting a few thousand here, a few thousand there, less than 15,000 a year. in these raids when you have 3 million illegals coming into the country a year, 1 million illegals. And now Governor Rick Perry with Homeland Security wants to have statewide driver's license checkpoints where they say they will shut down entire highways and search everyone. That was in the Houston Chronicle yesterday. And guess who comes out complaining? Oh, we may not be able to do this because this would discriminate against the illegal aliens. Well, don't worry. Cops already, when they stop you, if you're an illegal alien, they've been told let you go. I've had cops admit it. Police have been in the news. Sheriffs have arrested hundreds of illegals before, just in a night, stopping drunk drivers. And they are above the law because they have no papers. No one knows who they are. And ICE won't get them. So I told you years ago they would propose internal checkpoints in the name of stopping illegal aliens. But they're just going to legalize them with the new North American ID card that we played the federal TV ad for last week. We played the audio here. The North American travel pass. See, they're just going to make them legal and then stop everybody and check to see that you have them. And, I told you, domestic checkpoints, doesn't matter if the Supreme Court said you can't do it. Doesn't matter if the Fourth Amendment says you can't do it. They're doing it all over the country under the guise of DUI and illegal aliens and the rest of it. Now, they could just send police out because the illegal aliens, don't go get inspection stickers. They don't go get any of this and then pull them over. They could just stand there with probable cause looking at the stickers on cars. But they don't because they are reprimanded and get demerits, always for some other reason. This is on record. This isn't just me. This is mainstream news admitting this. If they touch the illegal aliens. So, no, I'm against these warrantless checkpoints. They are not for illegal aliens. I want to go to your phone calls because Colonel Craig Roberts just called. He wants to come on a little bit earlier, and I want to take your calls. We'll also take calls when he is on with us. I got a lot of audio clips I want to play today, too. But right now, there's a bunch of these up on PrisonPlanet.com, his predictions, videos of him years ago on TV predicting the exact financial crisis we're having now. But here's a quick clip with Gerald Celente, who, by the way, I thought to have on this morning. We already called him, and we're setting him up probably tomorrow or sometime early next week. We're also lining up Ralph Nader again because his plane was late. But here he is on Fox News 2 days ago.
All right, thanks, guys. Hey, if Gerald Celente wasn't right so many times, he'd be dismissed as another doom and gloom crackpot. But he has been right, and he has predicted correctly many, many times. Well, now he's looking ahead to 4 years of President Obama, get used to saying that, and at least 2 years of solid Democratic control on Capitol Hill. Now, here's a quick synopsis. He says that by 2012, America will become the first undeveloped nation of the world. There will be another tax revolution, Gerald says, in America marked by food riots, squatter rebellions, tax revolts, and job marches. And on a less political note, Celente says that the holidays will be a toned-down affair. Getting food, not gifts, will be the priority. Gerald Celente joins me now for some diamond dialogue. He's CEO of Trends Research Institute. Good to see you again, sir.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we picked the big three trends to focus on because you have many, but let's focus on the most immediate this holiday season. I know in our family we're already saying we're doing Secret Santa. You get one person that you pick, you get one gift for the adults. A lot of people are cutting back for Christmas.
Well, we're going to see a whole change of the Christmas spirit. No more of this obligatory gift buying. So in one way, people are going to get back to maybe the holy meaning of the holiday. That would be a shock, wouldn't it? So we're going to see gifts that are handmade, handcrafted. The local communities are going to do very well, the ones that hold those winter festivals. Less people going to the mall, more local shopping, and more of the gift-giving of maybe making things, exchanging foods. Like
baking cookies.
Exactly.
That's going to really hurt retailers, which we're all expecting this Christmas.
We're going to see the beginning of the end of a retail Christmas. They just invented this thing maybe 100 years ago. It wasn't always like this. So we're going to see a fundamental shift take place where people
stop right there.
Are going to be...
Back it up a few seconds. That's when I told my wife, and we never buy a lot of junk, and we always try to give books or films to people. And I'll go to the bookstore and you know, buy interesting, informative books and give that as gifts. And for children, I always try to give them something creative, but, you know, art supplies or something, you know, other people's children as well. But I told my wife, I said, look, let's just have the family event of making fudge or making cakes or, you know, and or Christmas cookies. It's fun to decorate. You know, we've always done that, but let's only do that. Because this is all an invention of Edward Bernays. You eat bacon with eggs because they told you. Women smoke because they told them. It was cool and rebellious against men. Everything, the football culture, the Santa, Halloween, it's all manufactured, folks, to get you into debt and to also tie you up in your free time with mindless rituals. That's why I'm telling listeners, go to InfoWars.com. If you've got to buy people gifts, give them the, and because frankly, our revenues are down. The rest of the economy's down. We're not selling as many books and videos. And so we can't hire as many people or reach out. I don't blame you. The economy's in bad shape. But please support the sponsors of this radio show and of your local affiliates, the local sponsors. Please support the online video and bookstore at InfoWars.com. You know, get Endgame, Terror Storm, Fabled Enemies. Because not only does it support this radio show and getting the word out, you get a video that has got a great cover, beautiful packaging, looks like a mainstream video. You know, looks like an action-adventure movie. You can say, hey, this is wild. Check it out. And you will unlock a mind. We're in a race against the New World Order here. We have to expose them. They are eugenicists. They say they're going to destroy the middle class. That's what globalism is. Post-industrial world. What did he just say on Fox News? Post-first world. Post-industrial nation. It's stated by the UN that they want to deindustrialize us. That's what the phony environmental carbon tax is, a tax on all human development, all human activities, and respiration. You can't make stuff up that's diabolical. A tax on breathing and teaching people it's in their best interest to do it. So, we don't have a choice here, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have a choice. We've got to expose who's really staging the terrorism. We have to expose who's poisoning the food and water, covered in Endgame. We've got to do this now. So, again, absolutely, do not. Your children get so depressed, and I've got to have this toy. You've destroyed them. Children are happy playing with a can in a sand pile. Your children are happy being taken to a brook to fish all day and catch tadpoles and put them in a fish tank. Your children are happy hiking up a hill and seeing a sunset. They don't want more crud. So, hey, if you don't buy my videos, fine. They're all free on the web at YouTube and Google. Email people or send them the URL address of the website and say, go watch Terror Storm or Endgame. You know, knowledge is valuable, and I hope this isn't pearls before swine. Or if you want to give them something to watch the videos in really good, high quality, so they can download a copy and burn it to disk, prisonplanet.tv. And we just launched today the Christmas special, holiday special for those that aren't Christian. Whatever. It's normally $5.95 a month. When you get a yearly membership for this November going into December until Christmas, you get 5.3 months free. That's what the discount comes up to. So you pay for 6 months, basically, and change, a little more than 6 months, and you get 5-plus months free. Okay? So you pay for 6.7 months, and you get 5.3 months free by going to prisonplanet.tv. And you know what? I'll give you a Christmas present. I don't care. I want the knowledge to get out now that we got super awesome servers that, you know, used to, we only had a couple servers. I was like, members, don't share these too much or it slows it down during peak times. Not anymore. I got two CDNs, which is a whole cluster of servers all over the world doing this. Costs a lot of money, but that's for our members. That's where your membership money goes, is to give you these smoking servers. So go get yourself a prisonplanet.tv membership and then give your passcode, or I guess you can, you know, let them make a passcode and then give you their passcode. However you want to do it. Takes about a minute to sign up. Make your passcode. That's it. Give them a prisonplanet.tv membership. Give yourself a prisonplanet.tv membership. Or regardless, just give them a monthly trial membership, $5.95. And then Give yourself, give your family, give society, give humanity a gift of knowledge and information. My weekly TV reports, my live fourth hour on PrisonPlanet.tv, all 20 of my films, the 19 films I've made, the films I produce, so it's more than 20. My in-studio interviews, the extras from the films that don't even go on the DVDs, it's all there. In-game 1.5, thousands of pieces of media, 4.5 years up and running, PrisonPlanet.tv, more and more getting at it all the time. Go check it out and give it to your friends, your family, your neighbors. Give yourself a membership and then share your passcode with them. Okay? All right, let's go ahead and go back to the clip.
It wasn't always like this. So we're going to see a fundamental shift take place where people are no longer going to be doing the Christmas shopping they used to do.
Gerald, come on. They're going to come out with a new iPod and a multicolor, fantastic thing, a new Xbox something-something.
Putting food on the table is going to be more important than putting gifts under the Christmas tree. We're going to go into the worst depression since the worst than the greatest the Great Depression.
Wow. Okay, let's talk about that then. You say by the 2012, America, you know, we were usually called the developed nation. We're going to be now the undeveloped nation.
Yeah, you know Obama's slogan, yes we can. We're saying no we can't. It's not going to happen. His plans as candidate Obama are no different than President-elect Obama. So there's not going to be any magic bullet here. There is no solving the crisis with swift resolve. So we're going to see a continuing decline. Americans are going to be taking a hit like they've never seen before. All these people that have their McMansions that are, we have, what, $14 trillion worth of consumer debt?
Right.
And people are losing their jobs every day. America is going to really go through a transition, the likes of which no one's prepared for. Because you well know, people were even denying that we were in a recession just a couple of months ago.
We debated that for months.
I know.
But still, I mean, people even say, well, technically, you have to have two negative GDP quarters until...
All right, we're going to play this clip and another clip later in the show to critique it. Your calls are coming up in the next two segments, and also with Colonel Craig Roberts, and then, of course, Bob Chapman with his once-a-week visit. But a very astute commenter on the story on Prison Planet says, is this forecast part of a disinformation campaign to instill fear, hopelessness, etc., so that folks rally behind and cry out for federal measures to help them? Commenter 41, Shady Mutha, very astute point. I'll give you my comment, my take, my view on that when we get back, and then directly to your calls. Stay with us. John in Canada, I'll go to you in just a second. The commenter on the story that Paul Watson wrote up on PrisonPlanet.com, Salente predicts revolution, food riots, tax rebellions by 2012. He's saying, hey, why are they putting this on the news? To fearmonger, to create fear? Absolutely. That isn't saying Salente's bad. He knows they've engineered this. In fact, in separate, longer interviews, he says that. But they're bringing him on now to say this, and not 2 or 3 years ago when he was first saying it, because now it's time to really panic people. But go back 2.5 years ago when I got back from Bilderberg in Canada, and I said they plan to demonize the economy and talk bad about real estate prices to pop that bubble so that the economy implodes so they can consolidate. We wrote stories about it. And remember how they'd badmouth it and how they'd say it was so bad, and then it would start sliding and they would then pose as saviors. So they do both psychologically. They pop the balloon, the bubble, then they pose as the savior. It's basic psychology. Once you sit back and start analyzing and don't just sit down in front of the TV and just mindlessly turn your brain off and believe whatever they say, it's totally clear. They're a bunch of smiling crooks trying to fool you and make it look confusing and bamboozle you. It's simple. They said they'd take the bailout money and give it to people to get the economy going. They're hoarding it all and using it for bonuses. And now they say they want even more money or they won't restart the economy. They got a gun to our head. All right, let's go ahead and go to a first-time caller. John in Canada, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. How you doing?
Good, sir.
All right. I just want to say, first off, you got great music on the show. It's never talked about, and you got great taste.
Well, we got a lot of other great music. I just haven't had time to give it to John up at the network to play, but thanks.
Right. Okay. I got a statement to say. I really admire how much you put so much emphasis into the truth, and you don't back down when someone says something else, and you have proof to say the other thing. So what I got to say to that is, have you ever looked into what the bleep or the holographic universe? I'm all down with everything you have to say, but there seems to be a lot of proof to show that our thoughts help shape reality, and I was just wondering if you looked into that very much.
Our thoughts do shape reality by imagining a new bridge or a new aircraft or imagining laser beams 300 years ago, and now they're a reality, or imagining helicopters 400 years ago. You know, with the famous inventors, you know, drawing pictures of, you know, imagining hot air balloons 1,000 years ago, and now they have them. Egyptians noticed that you could put a cloth bag over a fire and it would rise up to the ceiling, and they tried to build hot air balloons. But then when you get into total imaginary thinking, like they have a lot in India, it's all about the inner mind, so what if there's rotting homeless corpses everywhere and human feces everywhere, because it's all beautiful in the mind. There has to be a balance.
I mean, flesh does shape the day, for sure. But there is enough studies out there with random number generators. When 9/11 happened, they all spiked one way around the world. Or, you know, certain things like that.
Well, that's the way people claim that. A lot of times you can go to the American Cancer Society, they'll tell you cancer levels are down. Then you read the fine print, it'll tell you in survivability, not in people getting cancer. So, you know, there's lots of ways. Look, trust in God, but tie up your camel, as the Bedouins say. There are, you know, trust in God, but row away from the rocks. As Hunter S. Thompson said, there are all these people in the comment pages on PrisonPlanet.com today and InfoWars.com saying, you know, I don't care if they say we're all going to starve, the New World Order. I'm not going to get ready. I'm just going to trust in Jesus. Well, trust that Jesus gave you a brain good enough to, number one, take care of yourself and want to help others and not just sit there doing nothing. And, you know, it's a big cop-out. So I see fake Christians, not real Christians, and I see a lot of the Eastern mysticism folks, you know, living in la-la land. But listen, I appreciate your call.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Colonel Craig Roberts joins us in about 8 minutes. He'll be with us a little bit in the next hour as well. Then we'll have open phones for part of that hour, and then going into Bob Chapman exclusively with your phone calls and a bunch of key audio news clips we're going to be analyzing. Taking your phone calls right now, let's talk to Matthew in Texas, first-time caller. You're on the air, Matthew. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. How you doing?
Good, sir.
I'm Matthew from the We Are Change San Antonio chapter, and I heard you give us a shout-out yesterday.
Oh, you guys are doing a super job. I just love your spirit.
Thank you. Yeah, all our guys here, we're all passionate, and we all pretty much burn with the same desire to get all this information out. And we've reached a lot of active servicemen, especially downtown San Antonio from the Alamo.
And you've gone through a lot. You've had cops come over and grab your cameras away and tell you you don't have free speech in America. I don't want to be enemies with the police, but when you urinate on the First Amendment that our veterans fought and died for, you become an enemy of the Republic. So back off. Stop committing crime. But go ahead.
Yeah, thank you with that. We've talked to a lot of active servicemen, and they know the inside job, but pretty much, you know, they feel like we're giving them a hard time, but we break it down to, no, we're not. We just want you to be informed, active servicemen. And we've had Air Force come up to us, shake our hands. We've had Navy come up to us, shake our hands. And that always outweighs any negative or, you know, any cops trying to bash us. The positive in our eyes always outweighs the negative.
And we've got to have 9/11 truth continue on. It isn't just a Bush thing. Government-sponsored terror is what the people controlling the military-industrial complex are carrying out. And so we have to continue to expose false flag, or they will stage more. I mean, this is a key area in the info war. So I just love what you guys are doing. Do you have a website?
Yes, it's sanantoniotruth.org. That links to the meetup, sanantoniotruth.org. And anyone listening in San Antonio, I know there's a lot of people we've met that say they listen, but they haven't joined yet. Please join. We need all the help we can get.
Yeah, instead of four or five of you out there with the cops. Yeah. I mean, and folks, it sounds scary to have cops come up and say, you don't have free speech in America. It's empowering. And then to stand up to them and have them back down. Because, you know, we're not evil for standing on the street corner. We're allowed to. This isn't Nazi Germany.
You're right.
Well, Matthew, tell us your full name.
It's Matthew Medina.
Well, Matthew.
Yes, sir. People can find me on MySpace also, MySpace/SpaceBoyRocks. And we appreciate everything you do, Alex. So we're going to keep it up here. Anybody in San Antonio, join us in the Fed. We're organizing that as well. And we're going to stay active for as long as we can foresee. And we appreciate your work, Alex.
Well, I want to say this. We're making a film about Barack Obama and the financial crisis. I'm just going to leave it at that. It's going to be an emergency release film, meaning we're making it really, really fast, but good. Because, you know, it's going to be about Obama, how he's a puppet, how they control both parties, how the financial takeover is taking place. So we're going to hook folks in about Obama and then, you know, spend a lot of time on big issues, but also exposing his agenda. And so anybody out there at In the Fed events, send us your video footage if you want to, you know, maybe be in there a few seconds to show here are real Americans not protesting Bush the puppet or Obama the puppet, but protesting the real rulers.
Yes, sir. That sounds great. Looking forward to it. And we'll send you the footage and appreciate your work.
All right. Well, we appreciate you, and it's great to hear from you, Matthew. Very, very, very exciting. Trey just walked in. When am I supposed to call into Charlie Hodge? Whenever I want. I'll do it during the next break. No rest for the wicked, though I try to be a good person. I know I am wicked. I'm going to call into all these radio shows during the breaks. You know, my greatest frustration is that I can't thank all the groups. The incredible job We Are Change LA is doing, exposing Schwarzenegger, confronting him about his Nazi activities. I meant to play that for a week on air. Haven't played it yet. There's all these clips we never get to, but they're up on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. All of the 9/11 truth groups, all of the anti-New World Order groups, the pro-Second Amendment groups, all of you. I love you. I want to thank you all. I want to commend you. A lot of them get mad, though, and they say, we've emailed you a bunch and you've never contacted us, because I don't have time to hardly do anything. You know, I'm sorry.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
John in Canada, Daryl in Hawaii, Matthew in Texas. We already went to him. Fred in Philly. Dan, Cheryl, Vernon, we're going to get to all of you starting at the bottom of the hour, because Colonel Craig Roberts has been a syndicated talk show host in his own right, a best-selling author over and over again. He's been a police officer on the SWAT team. He's been an investigator, police helicopter pilot, Marine Corps sniper in Vietnam, lieutenant colonel in the Army, working in intelligence, on and on and on. He's worn so many hats, and he's pretty much gotten out of the publishing business now. He's got a few of his books left in print. You can get it at his website, riflewarrior.com. And he doesn't even really do a lot of radio anymore. He's just, I guess, pulling in his feelers and working with his family to get ready for what's coming down. But we're honored to have him on with us till about 15 after next hour. We're going to be taking your calls. But there's a host of issues I want to discuss with him today. Now, when we talk about Obama being a Marxist, you have to understand, the public view of a Marxist is some well-meaning ne'er-do-well who doesn't understand that socializing people's wealth doesn't work. No, no, no. Big banks, the elite that's imploding the economy, they are the ones that always fund Marxists throughout history. And socialist and fascist, as Carol Quigley said at Georgetown, you know, who wrote the official history, the internal history for the CIA that was then published of how our country really works. And they said, we fund the communists, we fund the fascists, anyone who consolidates wealth, anyone, you know, who can create government control to then give big corporate contracts and bailouts and giveaways to corporations. And so his whole family are Marxist, his father, his mother, all of his advisors, terrorist. That's not even denied. But the bigger issue is now they're coming in with the carbon tax. Now, Obama's a puppet. He's going to carry out the same agenda, just different flavor. And I wanted to get Colonel Craig Roberts' take on him briefly, but then get into the martial law scenario as we incrementally are eased into martial law. The Congress threatened with martial law. They didn't pass the bailout 5 weeks ago. Everything that's happening, they're announcing random checkpoints nationwide, but it's not for illegal aliens. It's for everybody. The illegal aliens are going to be allowed to leave. I've read the fine print here in Texas. So all of this going on, because he's been a police officer, he's been an investigator, he's, you know, been a colonel in the military, so many angles, and a researcher and author. He's a great analyst. So, Colonel Roberts, thanks for coming on with us today.
Glad to be back, Alex.
Give us your take on Barack Obama and what you think is in store for us.
Well, I think this guy, he is beyond a Marxist. He is a communist. I'm sure he and Putin are going to be very good friends, because his agenda always has been, if you go back and just do your homework and research where this guy came from and the stuff he's done in his past, he is not pro-American. He's pro-globalist, and he's pro-globalist on the international socialist scale, to where he wants to reduce the United States down to second world status. And he wants to do his redistribution of the wealth, which I wrote about that 15 years ago, that's what these people try to do. They take from those that have, they give to those they think need it, but they don't take it out of their own pockets. They want you to go out there and work, and they want you to raise your taxes, and they want to, get your money out of your bank account, and then they want to turn around and dole it out as they see fit. But what they really do is they're not helping people. What they're doing is they're buying power. They buy votes. They take ignorant people who don't do their homework or who don't understand or are just plain stupid, and they tell them, this is what we're going to do for you if you just vote for me. We're going to take care of you. We're going to house you. We're going to feed you. You're not going to have any taxes. You're going to be taken care of. And what they, this goes back to the Great Society. It even goes back to FDR, where, a chicken in every pot, that whole enchilada is easily bought by people who are A, stupid, B, lazy, or C, want the free handout. And so what happens is there's so many people out there who really, they should have to pass a test before they're allowed to go in the voting booth. They don't understand the Constitution. They don't understand what this country's about. They don't understand, what our rights are or are not. And yet they turn around and they vote for people who offer them things. And that's the way this election went. So they've got Obama up there wanting to use the power of the presidency to do stuff that the president just simply can't do. And they're going to get a very rude awakening. They're going to come back later on, and they're going to say, well, whose fault is it? Well, the Democrats always turn around and blame the Republicans. Well, there's no Republicans, and the Republicans don't control Congress now, so they're going to turn around and say, well, it's the policies of the Republicans in the past, and so on.
He's saying now, no reversal on torture, no reversal on Guantanamo for now, troops stay in Iraq. He's saying that they are going to continue, basically, all of the same policies. He's going to go ahead and hire lobbyists. He's going to go ahead and do everything he said he wouldn't. And by the way, McCain, I'm against socialism, but McCain actually wanted to give some of the money to the people with the mortgages. And Obama said, no, it all goes to the foreign bankers who now admit they're just keeping the money for bonuses. And this weekend, they're setting up open world government with the remonetization of the debt, new currencies. I mean, everything we talked about is actually happening, and they're going to have this front man there to fool the left to go along with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Alex, before I, go off on a different tangent here, I just want to let everybody know that the Republicans are just as much to blame. Now, and this is assuming. Now, we're just going to have to put this on an ivory tower and assume that there was an honest election, and we know there wasn't. For several reasons, we know there wasn't. But the other thing is you go back to who counts the votes, and, we get into a real quandary. But let's just assume there was. If so, the Republicans that we've got up there, the so-called conservatives, are, you call them neocons. I call them neo-repubs because they're rhinos. They're weak sisters. They don't do anything. They get along with the other side. They make make deals, they compromise, and a true conservative, American patriot, does not compromise, period, ever. Because what you do when you're talking about Marxists and socialists and communists, what they do is they go into the inchworm effect, and that is go a little bit forward until they meet resistance, and they back up and go around the resistance, go a little bit forward. You know, a true hardcore Stalinist will come, you know, he'll kick your door in, and he'll come in with guns blazing and take over the place and say, my way or the highway. But a Fabian socialist, which these people are, the Schumers and the the Kennedys.
Very hard to beat because they're incremental.
Yeah, they're incremental. And what they do, you know, two steps forward, one step back, but they still get their way. And they've been doing this since the 1960s in our lifetime. And before that, you go back to the 1800s and 1850 on. And they've been doing it all over the world, in Europe and Russia. So, you know, this is what we're seeing now. And they've got to the point where they started doing things. And both parties are at fault here because they've allowed it to happen. We've gotten to the point where we've got the Patriot Act 1 and 2. We've got GATT. We've got NAFTA. We've got open borders. We've got multiculturalism. We've got political correctness. We've got God out of the church and God out of prayer and out of the state, functions and so on and so forth.
Let me just interrupt before I forget. Remember, Obama said he would end NAFTA and GATT, then he backed off. Then he hires, as a chief of staff, the head gun grabber for Handgun Control, Inc., the guy that passed the assault weapons ban, the whip that did it, and the guy that got NAFTA passed under Clinton. I mean, talk about betraying his mindless constituents. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, but there's so many people out there that he's going to tell them it's a good thing, and they're going to believe it simply because it came out of his mouth. And it's just, it's incredible how stupid people can be. I had a T-shirt designed, and I wore it to the big Wanamaker gun show here about a week ago. It's the biggest gun show in the country. It's 14 acres of tables under one roof. And the T-shirt has a donkey on the front with a red circle around it with a stripe through the middle, you know, no donkey. And over it, the Vietnamese word, Sat Kong. And Sat Kong basically is, you know, kill communist. And people would stop and say, well, what's that all about? And I got more comments on that, and I said, you don't understand. The Democratic Party in this country has been taken over by the communists a long time ago. The CPUSA went away and reemerged in the lower levels of the Democratic Party, worked their way all the way up to the DNC, and they brought their agenda with us. You know,
and the Trotskyites founded the neocon movement that took over the Republicans in the 90s.
That's right. And so, you know, both sides have direct links to Moscow or Beijing. Are both, and the people don't do their homework. They sit there, you know, they're brain dead, watching football on TV and worrying about what they're going to do this weekend and the next fishing trip or beanbag, and they totally are clueless about what goes on in government, and they've let government run the country instead of them running the government, and everything's upside down now, and they wonder what went wrong. Well, they're going to find out what went wrong here pretty soon, because when this guy gets in, he's going to be just like the Clintons were. When they first got into office, they had their agenda in three-ring binders already typed up and ready to go. And they threw a staff in there, and they started you remember, Alex, we talked about this years ago. When they started passing all those gun laws right and left so fast that what they got was a springboard effect. They did it so fast and so hard that people rebelled against it, and they bought guns like they're going out of style. They bought ammunition and stocked up on it. I went to one gun show. People were coming there with dollies, taking out cases of ammunition and stocking up. They thought there was going to be a war coming. And then we had Waco. Then we had Oklahoma City. Then we had, of course, we had the 1993 bombing of the Twin Towers and so on down the line. And people are going, hey, we got to stock up more stuff. Well, what it did, it created a counter to what they were doing. And it resulted in an election that threw most of the Democrats out and put Republicans in.
And that stalled the New World Order agenda, so the Clintons bombed OKC.
Well, yeah, we know that they benefited from it, for sure. But here's the deal. We're going to see that again because
wait a minute, you investigated that. You know OKC's an inside job.
It was.
Sure.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
But
not specifically saying they pulled the trigger. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we've talked about this ad infinitum, but to stay on track with this, what they're going to do this time, this is what I prophesy. You know, I'll just kind of think ahead of the jet here for a little bit. I think that they're going to come in and they're going to start sliding these gun control things in on earmarks on other bills that people don't notice. They're going to be small, but they're going to come in and they're going to slowly but surely eat away at the foundation of the Second Amendment. This guy hates handguns. He's going to probably try to make the ownership of handguns altogether illegal.
Yeah, when he was in the Senate, that's where all this comes from, folks. When he was in the Illinois Senate, he called for banning all semi-auto handguns and rifles. I mean, confiscating them. They're not playing games. They want you to be their slaves. They need to disarm you to do that.
Federal agents, we are armed!
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well funded.
What would you do if you knew all the things we knew? Would you stand up for truth, or would you turn away too? And then what if you saw all of the things that's wrong? Would you stand tall and strong?
Okay, back live with
message from the government,
like Colonel Craig Roberts.
And listen,
Craig continuing. People are in denial. His chief of staff says he wants everybody, but this will be separate from the Pentagon. He says it's like National Guard training, and it'll be under the same rules in his book, in the legislation, in Barack Obama's own website, though they pulled it over the weekend, that you will go now under the Department of Labor. And that you will train with weapons, and that you will be a million-man domestic spy force, and that they will deploy different people around the country. I mean, that comes right out of Nazi Germany or Soviet Russia.
You can't have a dictatorship without your own private army of a Geheimstaatspolizei. And so that's what he's evidently got in mind. Stalin did it with the KGB. Mao did it with whatever organization it is in Chinese that he had. You have to have your spies. You have to have your block captains. You have to have your snitches. You have to have people that you can rely on that are, you know, totally loyal to you, but don't take orders from the military or the Pentagon, because the Pentagon can't be trusted. You know, the military has taken an oath to defend and support and defend the Constitution, and so that's not going to fit his agenda. He wants people that are going to take an oath to him, you know, his little Sieg Heil bunch. And if you get on the YouTube and you look at Obama Jugend, the Obama youth schools that he put in, where they march around like little Nazis, beat their chest and salute, Barack Obama did this for me, Barack Obama did that for that. I mean, and you look in their eyes, you can see these kids are brainwashed.
And any time you see that in history, I mean, I have studied history just like you have, Colonel, and I have never in U.S. history seen the media call him the one, the president of the world, the one that will fix it all. And the media seriously is out pushing this. They don't, folks don't know history. Anytime you see that in history, look out.
Well, the mainstream America media is simply a propaganda organization, for the left. It's been that way for a long time, probably since sometime in the 1950s. When Tail Gunner Joe McCarthy had the big witch hunt for the communist, everybody laughed at him. You know, later on they said, "Oh, he's nuts. He doesn't know what he's talking about." And it turns out he was right all the time. You know, and we don't have a House Committee for the Investigation of Un-American Activities anymore. They did away with it. That's something that it'd be nice to have, to find out, you know, who these people are and where they come from. You look at Obama and you go back, you know, the guy can't pass a security test. He cannot do it. I did some research to find out, you know, what qualifications does somebody have to become the president of the United States when it comes to their background checks, to the security investigations that have to go on. When I was working in intelligence, I had to get a top secret clearance every year just to make sure I hadn't done anything in the last year. And I was SCI, which is compartmentalized. In other words, I could go into safes, inside safes, and so on and so forth. And they checked everything. They went back, I don't know how many generations. They talked to my neighbors. They talked to my friends. They talked about people that worked with me. They talked to everybody.
That's what I was about to say, is that people can say this is wrong.
That he's hired by the American people and paid out of tax money. So therefore, the President of the United States should be able to pass the same security clearances that the generals in the Pentagon have to pass. He's going to be their boss. Now, why should he have access to all of the information that's in every vault out there, where we don't know who his friends are. We don't know who he's going to pass it on to. You know, I mean, he could be a spy at the highest level. Who knows? You don't know until you can get vetted.
Well, we know Rahm Emanuel is Mossad, and
sure,
it was in the Israeli military. I mean, this is just becoming more and more ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you know, what's killing me is I just read an article yesterday about how the Jewish vote went like 70% Obama because they're very socialist-minded when it comes to social programs and things like that. And I'm going, you bunch of idiots. You have no idea. This guy is not pro-Israel, and he's definitely anti-gun and anti-Second Amendment, anti-self-defense. So if they set up an Auschwitz, and if they set up a Treblinka, and they set up a Buchenwald for you guys this time, guess what? It's going to be the same thing all over again. You know, it's, you know, the only Jews that had a chance in Europe in 1939-1940 was those that were in the Warsaw Ghetto that kept their guns.
All right, stay there. Let's come back and talk more about it and take calls. Is our guest, good friend of mine. Got to have some kind of event or something in the future so I can hang out with him. Best-selling author of One Shot, One Kill. Book on sniping. Had a whole bunch of bestsellers until he started writing books about the New World Order, and they said, look, we know it'd be a bestseller, but we aren't publishing it. Talk about those before he leaves us 15 minutes to the next hour. I want to go to your phone calls, but I want to get these questions out first. Shifting gears, the police are being militarized. They're trying to brainwash them, trying to bring in a tyrannical culture. Cops all over the country, Colonel, I get videos of them walking up to folks saying, you can't videotape, you can't protest, you can't hand out literature. We have the police being told that martial law may come because of the economy. Even mainstream news is reporting it. They were ready in case Obama didn't win for the election as well. What is going to happen as there isn't money for property taxes and there isn't money to pay the speeding tickets? I mean, you can tell the police are cash strapped because before they wouldn't give you a ticket around the country unless you were 5 miles over the speed limit. Now they wait down hills hoping you accidentally go 3 miles over to give you a ticket around here in Austin, Texas. I mean, they admit they want to squeeze more and more money for revenue, but it's just not going to be there. A lot of political experts and even mainline pundits are saying that there's going to probably be a revolution in this country. Fox News was reporting that, and we played it earlier in the last hour. What is going to happen as the people get squeezed and squeezed and squeezed and the international bankers, by design, implode our economy?
Well, you know, this has already happened in England. And now you cannot own property in England. You can lease it for 99 years. The crown owns it. And I think that this is where we're going right now, because if these mortgages are all being bought up by the federal government, then who's going to own the property? The federal government. What are they going to do with it? They're going to lease it to you. They're going to make the payments so you can afford it. But eventually, there will not be private property in this country if these people have their way about it. I think when it gets to the point to where the middle class, which is the plow horse, it's the one that, you know, that plows the fields and makes things grow and develops the economy, that when the middle class, when that horse dies, then there's not going to be anything to feed this machine that keeps getting bigger and bigger and hungrier and hungrier. So you got a racehorse, and you got a dead horse, and you got a plow horse. Well, when the plow horse is gone, the racehorse can't pull a plow, and the dead horse isn't going to do anything. And that's the welfare end of the country on the dead horse. So what happens at that time? Well, people are going to revert back to survival mode. And the ones that you know, do their homework in advance, who prepare in advance, who see this coming, who band together, who communicate, who teach their kids, who do all they can to be able to survive through this, are going to do it as individuals and small communities. There isn't going to be a big national movement. I just don't see that happening in the country because of the educational system and what's done to our kids over the last 30 years.
Well, let me throw this in, and I agree with you. People say, well, why should I own gold if they can come confiscate it? Well, it's better than a bank account where they can come get it. Or why should I own property? They can just take it. Or, You know, why should I? You know, they might come get me. Absolutely. There's no perfect world, folks. You just got to make the best preparations you can, and you better get to know your neighbors, and you better, even if you're going to stay in the city and work, have a place to bug out to. And, yeah, you've got to make that decision. Am I going to let paramilitary goon squads or whatever take my children away, take me to a relocation center, or, you know, commandeer the food I've got? That's all in the executive orders. They've been preparing for this for decades and decades, Colonel, and now they are announcing to the public that they are going to do it, the whole time with the media saying they're the good guys. So what do you expect the police to do versus what they should do?
I don't think the police are going to do anything. I think that what's going to happen from, you know, what I've been able to find out is, like we've talked before, you know, here's Obama. I didn't think he was going to bring our troops home. Why? Because he doesn't want them here. There's too many patriotic conservative Americans in the military. You've got to get those guys out of the country. The National Guard, the reserves, you've got to wear them out. You've got to get them out of the country. When you have a situation occur here, let's say massive civil disorder, for whatever reason, food riots, race riots, whatever reason it is, even if it's trumped up, even if it's instigated by the New World Order pukes, what we have to understand is they're going to pull in foreign assets. They're going to pull in blue helmets from other countries. They've been training them for a long time. They've been training them in Russia and in Yugoslavia and in the Balkans.
By the way, people always deny this. Earlier this year, and they signed it a few years before that, Canada and Mexico signed deals, quote, for domestic disturbance inside the U.S. Please continue.
That's right. And you know, it's supposed to be to help us out, of course. You know, if we have another Katrina or whatever, you know. But those are the guys that are close. They can bring people in from, you know, the Chinese have the biggest merchant shipping fleet in the world with the biggest ships. You can load those ships up with as many troops as you want and drive them right into San Diego and Long Beach and San Francisco and unload people. You can fly people in. You know, when they start doing this, they'll do it because the government says they're going to help us. They're our friends. They're our allies.
Now, see, I would think of this as insane and crazy and they never get away with it, but they have all these generals and Wesley Clark and all of them telling the troops this is going to happen, getting them ready. Tell folks about that.
Well, yeah, you know, back in several years ago, this plan was already developed, and Barry McCaffrey, who was a general in the Army at the time, went to CASQ class at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, that my nephew was in. And he was a young West Pointer, a captain. He'd done two tours in Somalia, and he was graduating from the command and staff college up there. The general came in there, and he was introduced. McCaffrey was introduced as a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, immediately, Brian stood up and took notice of that and started taking notes. And afterwards, he called me, and he said, "You're not going to believe what this guy said." And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "With us committed, if we ever get committed on two fronts," because we weren't at that time. This was in the 90s. He says, "If we ever get committed on two fronts, because of the bill down in the armed forces, we will not have sufficient assets at home to handle civil disorder." And I'm thinking, wait a minute, the military is not supposed to handle civil disorder to begin with. And then he goes on to say that we will be forced to call upon foreign assets to patrol our streets. So this plan that was initiated by the Council on Foreign Relations, you know, a decade and a half ago, is it's on the shelf. It's ready to go. What do you do with all the people that you have to deal with? Well, you've got three choices. You've got deadly weapons, you've got non-lethal weapons, and you've got relocation. The relocation breaks down into the volunteers, you know, get on the bus, we're going to get you out of here, there's a biological hazard, there's a radiological hazard, whatever, and we're going to move you to a safe location until it's okay to come home. The other one is the non-volunteers, that they'll just simply go out and say, okay, you refuse to take your flu shots, or you refuse to take the mark, or you refuse this, you know, you're going with us, period. Your kids are going over there, you're going over here, and, you know, the husband's going to the work gang.
Actually, in the dark winter scenarios the Pentagon put out, top off 1, 2, and 3, and the drill there are starting today. If you don't go along with them and, quote, you may be contaminated, they just go ahead and burn your farm down or kill you. So they're publicly admitting that they've trained them for that.
Yeah, and, you know, let's go back to what you said earlier. We didn't address that. What are you going to do if somebody comes to take your gold? Well, they got to find it first. You know, you don't just simply have it sitting there on the coffee table, folks. If you're going to invest in gold, put it someplace safe. Give it a military funeral somewhere. You can do the same thing with ammunition. You can do the same thing with food. I mean, you have to think ahead. You have to think defensively. And you can't have everything you want. No one goes to war with what you want. You go to war with what you have. And so you have to think of what are you going to do if we get into a totalitarian society and it becomes so dictatorial that you have no choice but to either go along with it, fight or die.
And by the way, Congressman Brown, who's on a lot of committees, has gone public saying, look, there's open discussion about this. And then Congress 5 weeks ago was threatened with martial law if they didn't pass the banker takeover bill, which, again, was unlimited trillions. It's not $700 billion. It's already $5 trillion they've sucked out, $2 trillion they won't say where it went. And they actually threatened Congress with martial law. And I've talked to Republican and Democratic congressmen who were told that. But under House rules, they were told you can't tell anyone or they can be kicked out of the House. I think those rules are wrong. I mean, we've gotten to that point, Colonel. It's really happening.
Well, the government's been taken over by the communists. It's as simple as that. We don't control the government anymore. It's a rogue elephant. It's out of control. What we have to do
now... It's just
now,
like in America with a K. They still have the Congress there.
Yeah.
It's just not our Congress.
No, it's the comradeship. The problem is, when I was in school in the 50s and 60s, we learned about communism. I can still remember words like, Communist Manifesto and Karl Marx and Lenin and Stalin and all of that, and dialectic materialism. You haven't heard that one in a long time. These kids today don't get any of that education. It's left out on purpose. And they don't get much American history. And what they do get in American history has all been so corrupted that, World War II is 2 pages and something else that's socialist is 15 pages. It's incredible what they've done to kids in the government school systems. So now you don't know how to identify the enemy if you've never been trained on what the enemy looks like.
Well, Craig, forget that. The average kids don't even know where the U.S. is on a map, literally.
Well, and they can't spell, they can't read and write, they can't, I don't know.
Which is in all the government documents, which was done by design.
No, you sit there and your mouth just falls open because, I'm at the age where I can compare what it was like in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and what it is today. But the youngsters, they don't have anything to compare it with. All they have is what their friends tell them, who are smarter than their parents, they always have been, and their teachers, who are pretty much controlled by the NEA. And the NEA is a global socialist UN organization.
But let's explain. We're not saying commies under the cupboard. The Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, they had House hearings in the 70s. They cold-bloodedly said to enslave everybody, we'll socialize everything to get control and break up the families, and then we'll have global serfs under a world government's control run by the private banks.
Well, yeah. I've been dealing with a terrible chest cold.
I have, too.
It's been for weeks.
That I hit the cough button right then and was coughing while you were coughing? That's funny.
I don't know if it's a chemtrails or what it is. It's terrible.
Oh, man. Oh.
But what we're having right now is a failure to communicate. Those of us who know what's going on are not communicating well with our neighbors, our family, and our friends. Now, they say a prophet is never, a man is never a prophet in his own village. And I found that to be true, and I think everybody else has ever tried to talk about this to their family or their close friends. I talked about this years ago in our police department, and I got labeled a nut. Then, after I retired, I had some of those guys that worked in Intel over at the PD call up and say, hey, we want to know some more because you were just way ahead of your time. And I said, well, it's too late. You got too much homework to do. But I talked about all this in my book, Killzone. When I go back, beyond the Kennedy assassination, I go back into the powers that be and what their agendas are, and I talk about the education, and I talk about the Carnegies, and I talk about the Ford Foundation, and I talk about, the Rothschild plan and all of that. And people have read that book, and they fall into one of two categories. One is total disbelief and denial, and the other is I want to know more. Well, you find out that about 20% of the population wants to know more and wants to get involved in it. About probably 40%, and I'm hip shooting this, about 40% are, well, yeah, I kind of believe it, but I don't want to get involved. I don't really want to know more because it scares me. And then the rest totally just deny it ever being a possibility. And so I've run into that over and over again. But we got to remember there was only, 17% of the population fought the Revolutionary War?
Well, about 4% started it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very small percentage and beat the British Army. So it's not.
Yeah, there's a small group of them, and there's a small group of us, and they operate by lying and stampeding the mindless herd. We have to find people who aren't mindless in the herd and get them activated to start warning everybody, and that is happening. I'm seeing a huge awakening, Colonel. I want to go to some phone calls, and we're going to do it after the break. You'll be with us 15 minutes in the next hour, graciously. RifleWarrior.com is the website. Be sure and check it out. But, Colonel, you know, I've had spiritual experiences that I don't talk about on air. I just leave it at that. But death experiences, near-death experiences, but you did die, are something universally people have pretty much the same type experiences. And, you know, I think that story you tell is so important for people that don't realize we're only here once. This life is a test. It's so important, and a lot of people are cowed. They're scared. They don't understand that we're here to be tested by this. Tell folks that story, please, because it's so important.
Well, in August of 1997, I'd been going through about a six-month battle with colon cancer that metastasized and went all over my body. I kept getting sicker and sicker, and I was on chemotherapy at the time, which that turned out to be the problem. That was the big mistake. And I got to the point to where I got down to about 160 pounds, and I couldn't hardly get out of bed. And one day I tried to stand up to out of bed and fell on the floor. Long story short, my wife called 911. The fire department showed up first. My blood pressure was 60 over zero on falling. Ambulance showed up next. They said I wouldn't make it to the hospital. They loaded me up, took me to the hospital, and I got into the ER, and I was on a gurney, and the doctors came in, and they said they wanted to know if I had a living will. And I said, I don't know. I don't know what a living will is. I've got a will. They said, no, this is you know, do we unplug you if, you know, you're not going to make it? And I said, I'm going to make it. And they said, well, we got six doctors in here to work on you tonight. And I said, no, you got seven. I said, God's here. You just listen to him. You just pay attention to what he says, and he'll guide you through it. And they kind of got a chuckle out of that. And they said, well, we're not expecting the best. And they turned around and started to walk out. And an orderly came in, and he started to put a tube down my throat or down my nose. And the next, that's all I knew. The next thing I knew, I was not there anymore. I was sitting in a big, dark room. It was cool. It felt comfortable. I felt perfectly healthy. I felt like I was like 23 years old. I didn't care at all about this life anymore. Time meant nothing. And I knew that I'd come through a portal or a doorway or something to my left, and there was another one on my right, and the decision was being made to take me on or send me back. And I also knew that in front of me, there's a portal that would open up that would send me straight to hell. Hell exists, folks. Heaven exists. This is real stuff. I didn't make this up. I didn't dream it. I knew that my guardian angel was there that I'd known all my life. He's my invisible playmate when I was a little kid. He was standing behind me. His name was Joe. And he was communicating with me that this decision was being made. And I felt like I was there about 3 minutes. And I was being downloaded all kinds of information that I didn't know what it meant, but they said, you'll run into certain people in your life that you'll be able to give this information to. They'll know what it means. It's important to them. But you've got, you know, things that you have to do. You've got people you need to talk to. You've got more work to do for us. So that was basically it. And the next thing I knew, I opened my eyes, and I was in ICU, and it was 18 hours later. I felt I was gone 3 minutes, and of course they buzzed the docs, and one of them came in, and he said, I don't know what happened. He said, you flatlined. He says, you were gone 3 minutes. And so that's 3 minutes I felt like I was gone. I don't know what happened to the other 18 hours because time really didn't mean anything. And he said, there's no way you could have survived, but you did. He says, we ran out of A-negative blood. That's all. He said, you were hemorrhaging internally. We used up O, we used everything we could, and for some reason you stopped bleeding, and we got a heartbeat. And that was my after-death experience.
Absolutely thought-provoking, and that's what we do here. We want you to think about how special this one life is and make the right decisions. Don't choose evil. We'll be right back. Last night I was driving home through the Texas Hill Country, and it was dark. I was looking at all the tail lights going one direction and the headlights going in the other. I looked out to see a distant sunset red on the sky. It was dark where I was, and I just thought about how amazing our lives are, how incredible creativity is, how good and decent the innocent are. But on the other side of that, there is the wicked globalist who love death and destruction, love enslavement, love to dominate the good. I'm going to tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, there is a lot more than what you see with your eyes, what you hear with your ears. There's a lot more around us. There's a lot of mysteries, and a lot of people have crossed over the other side and have seen what Colonel Roberts saw. And we're going to go to your calls here in a moment, but finishing up with this guardian angel, with this presence that was with you, you've told the story in more detail before, but any other facets to it? What was that like being on the other side?
Well, I had no earthly care about this place. It didn't mean anything anymore. It's like on an average day, you leave your bedroom, you close the door, and you walk into the living room. You don't think about the bedroom; it's behind you. And it was kind of like this whole life. What was important was how I had conducted myself in this life. You get kind of a gold star every time you do something good, and you get a black star every time you do something bad, and those add up. Your guardian angel remembers everything that you did from the day you were born on. I don't know if you could call a guy a snitch or not. But I think that's how all this stuff gets reported later on is to where you end up. And, you know, I believe what the Bible says. I don't have it interpreted. I don't need to interpret anything on it. And I know that there's a lot of things in there that a lot of people don't understand. But when I came back later on, I was able to read it and see things I had never seen before. And There people have to understand, and I used to have this problem with some of these guys that ran these militias. They chased the bad guy up just so high in the food chain, but they never got to the top. They didn't understand the real force that they were fighting against was Satan himself. It's as simple as that. There's good and there's evil. God is in charge of good. Satan's in charge of evil. And God gave us one thing, and that was the right of choice. He gives us the information, and he says, "This is what I want you to do." He doesn't force us to do it. He gives us the Ten Commandments. He gives us the Golden Rule. He gives us, you know, the stuff in Leviticus. And he says, okay, he says, now you know what the rules are.
Well, Craig, I think that's what our job is. I mean, not that we're perfect or good ourselves, but the people have been warned. I mean, the Rothschilds are out in the open now saying we run the government and it's a world government. I mean, in newspapers saying world government's being set up and the public reads it and then denies it, they've been given their chance. And that's what the Bible means by willful denial. You know, they wanted to believe a lie, so God gave them. You know, gave them over to it. They asked for it. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, it's the information's there. It takes messengers. It takes watchmen on the walls. It takes those of us that are willing to go out there and be outspoken and say, look, folks, this is the way it is. Wake up and see what's going on here. Now, you have choices to make, but, you know, you can't make somebody a Christian by chasing them down the street and beating them over the head with a Bible. They have to make that choice themselves. You have to give them the information and step back. That's up to them. If they decide that they're going to go to the dark side, so to speak, that's a decision that they have made. And they're going to end up paying for it later. If they accidentally go to the dark side because they're too stupid to understand that there is good and evil, and what is good and what is evil, and be able to recognize it, then, you know, they've fallen into the trap. And those are the sheep. Those are the ones that get lured into the slaughter. And there's so many of them out there right now who voted for Obama that's being lured into the pen. And it's going to unfold around them, and they're going to wonder what happened. They're going to say, this isn't the guy I voted for. You know, you have good, you have evil. This guy is evil. The Clintons, they were evil. The Schumers and Feinsteins and Pelosi's and all those people, they are evil.
Well, you can see it in their eyes. I mean, I don't judge a book by a cover. I judge it by its fruits. But, I mean, they seethe with evil power. When you look in their eyes, I mean, these people are crazed.
Oh, they know what it means to do the correct thing, and they know what it means to do the bad thing.
Stay there.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we're going to take your calls in this segment and the next. Then Colonel Roberts is going to leave us. I'm going to continue with calls and a bunch of key audio clips and news I'm covering. Till Bob Chapman joins us in T-minus 60 minutes. Ronnie in Texas, then Daryl, Fred, John, Chanel, Tom, and others. Ronnie, you're on the air with Colonel Craig Robert. Roberts, riflewarrior.com.
Wow, I'm so honored. Thank you, sir. And to this is kind of old news to many of y'all, but to Obama followers and hopesters, any hope for real change to this ongoing tragedy has evaporated when Obama named longtime Bilderberger conspirator Joe Bilderberger Biden as his Bilderberger chosen VP. Because, in my opinion, Obama signed his own death warrant with that selection because the evil, scheming Bilderbergers, a secret elite, now have one of their own ready to take over if and when Obama...
You know, that's right, and the globalists are very, very racist at the top. I mean, they really hate black people, and of course, he's half black. He really is an African-American. I mean, his ancestors weren't slaves, as his dad was from Kenya. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like JFK having LBJ as his VP. I mean, I agree. I think that could be in the cards. Colonel Roberts?
Oh, yeah. You know, anytime you get Bilderbergers and CFR, Royal Society for International Affairs, Roundtable Group, Trilateralists, they're all you know, in the same club, basically. And anytime you get these people involved in anything, they're going to bring that agenda in with them. And the agenda is the destruction of nation states, the subjugation of populations, total control of world population, total control of world economy, world food, and world population. You know, population reduction is one of their deals. That's why they're really for abortion. You know, we could go on and on with this stuff, but anytime you get these people involved in something, you're poisoning the water.
Well, exactly. And look at Obama. He wants to increase funding for abortion in Africa, killing black people. Oh, but that's cute and sweet and liberal. Anything else, Ronnie?
Well, yeah, my question is about Obama's devotion to intensify the truly unwinnable war in Afghanistan. By the way, invaders never succeed in, you know, trying to take over Afghanistan.
Yeah, the guarding of the poppy fields, Craig. How's that going?
Well, you know, there's two facets about Afghanistan. One is, you know, whether it's the Golden Triangle in Laos, whether it's Colombia, whether it's Afghanistan, the drugs aren't going to go away. That's where the money's at. That's where the black elements in the world intelligence community get their funding. That's where the big, you know, I mean, oil and drugs and gold.
People wonder why the Afghans keep fighting. It's because they're fighting over the drugs. But sorry, go ahead. You said oil. Go ahead.
Well, you know, there's four elements of wealth in the world. You talk about oil, drugs, gold, silver, and, you know, precious metals, and diamonds. And those four areas right there, these people are, you know, they're in it hip deep, and they're going to stay there. They're not going to let anything happen to that. And that's why they don't want any of it to be legitimatized. If we had a war on drugs, we could stop it. But what we do is the war on drugs only goes to knock down the competition. The main players in this thing have been around for 20, 30 years, some of them going back to World War II, and they're still around. That's not going to change. So we have to, you know, we have to look at that and understand that that's what's going on. As far as Afghanistan's going, there's two things about Afghanistan. One is the drug market. The other is the fact that the Afghanis have always fought wars 2 years later. Basically, the British went in twice and, you know, took the place, and then the Mujahideen, whatever you want to call them, backed off and let them have their free will until they decided that, you know, this place is subjugated, we're good to go, we'll send the main force home and just leave a few people here to run the place. And they did, and when they did, of course, they got attacked, and as they tried to leave, they were massacred.
That's what they always do. They always play possum.
Yeah, and then they kill you when you pull your forces out or you reduce your forces. They're very patient. They did the same thing to the Russians. They're very patient. Unless it's one of the deals where it's like cockroaches. If you don't kill every single one of them, you're going to lose because they're going to come back someday when you're sleeping and cut your throat. That's just the way it is over there.
Well, I think patriots in the U.S. need to take a page from that if we go into real tyranny, Colonel.
Well, I think that every patriot in the United States should study history.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Ronnie. Daryl, Fred, John, Chanel, Tom, others, stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
He's still got a few of his best-selling books in print. Check them out at riflewarrior.com. We also sell some at infowars.com. He's Colonel Craig Roberts. We're taking your phone calls here in a final segment with him as quickly as possible. Daryl in Hawaii, you're on the air. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Hey, Alex, it's Daryl. How are you?
Oh, good. Daryl Rundis. Oh, how you doing, man?
Man, if I was any better, I'd be in Hawaii. Hey, wait a minute. I am in Hawaii.
I need to have you on as a guest sometime.
Hey, man, I just wanted to call in. I thank God for you. I want to start by edifying you and what you do. I know there's a lot of people out there who are afraid to take that step, Alex. They've woken up, they realize what's going on, but they're afraid to get up and get out and do anything about it for fear of the repercussions. And I know it's God orders my steps, so it's no coincidence I should get on the show today with the Colonel, because, Colonel, you're absolutely right. We got to make war with what we have, and that's why it's so important that people prepare. They get their guns, they get their gold, they get their power, you know, energy, backup energy, and everything they're going to need when they take this thing down.
Well, that's absolutely correct, and we can't fight the war until we understand there's two fronts to fight. That's the physical front and spiritual front. You know, all the demons of hell are out there fighting right now against the angels, and we don't see it, but we know it's happening all around us. And we have to understand what side we're going to be on, and we have to also understand we win in the end, but we need all the help we can get in between. There's those that are going to, you know, go out and be on the battlefield. There's those that are going to stay at home, and there's those that are going to sit on the fence. And God hates those that sit on the fence or stay at home. They're going to have to answer for that later on.
Well, absolutely. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 24 and 25 that the time will come when he returns, and there'll be many believers, people that believed in him and believed that he'd return someday, but they would say to themselves, oh, it's been a long time, you know, things continue on as they have always continued, and they start to drink and get drunk, and they make fun of their fellow servants. But Jesus says when he comes back, he's going to turn to those people and cut them into pieces and sign them to a place with the unbelievers. So I'm speaking to all those Christians out there who say you believe in the Bible, yet you know the times are, you know, the signs of the times are all around us, but you won't get up, you won't get out, and you won't get busy doing, first and foremost, the most important thing, and that is sharing the gospel with people that souls may be saved, but also using this information that Alex and, you know, Lindsay Williams and you and many others have brought to the forefront of the American people's minds.
Well, Daryl, we've been playing phone tag, but I want to get you on as a guest sometime. Daryl's been very supportive of InfoWars, and I've been playing phone tag with him. I apologize for not getting back with you the last few weeks, Daryl, but I told Trey to call you and just set you up as a guest on the show to talk about all the fine work you're doing. Has he called you?
Man, no, but we'll definitely have to do that. But I tell you the truth, Alex, I'm going to put you on the spot here. You know, one thing, everybody listening that has woken up and that has realized what's going on, including the Colonel, the next thing that happens when we wake up is, well, what do we do about it? You know, if we want to get involved, how do we get involved? How do we attack these people? And, man, you and I talked about putting on a boot camp, and we really need to do that. I'll pay for it. I'll underwrite it. I'll host it. I did the same thing with Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron, very successfully trained up thousands of people to go share their faith. And I know if we can do that, and you and I and whoever.
Yeah, we could do it to expose the New World Order. No, I need to get on that. I'm trying to finish that studio and everything else, Daryl. That's why I've been.
And the tools, we need to give them the weapons they need to win the war. Ask the Colonel, if you arm a soldier with a feather duster and you push him into battle, they're not going to be very courageous. But if you give them the weapons...
Well, Daryl, look at your schedule. I've got some openings tomorrow. Let's just set you up for the show right now. How about you come on at 2:30 tomorrow for 30 minutes? How's that sound?
Sounds good to me, man.
I'm going
to
put you on hold. Yeah, 2:30 tomorrow Central. John's going to get your number, so it's already set up, and we'll call you tomorrow at 2:30.
Well, hey, man, we thank God for you. Colonel, keep up the good work, man.
We'll do it.
Take care. Yeah, Daryl's got a great idea. You know, he's started some guys on international TV and going out and, you know, boot camps for Christians, actually go out and get people saved. And he's saying, do the same thing to get the word out about the New World Order. And I've just been kind of dodging him because I've been so busy. I don't want to take on a new project, but it is an important project and somebody needs to do it. And so that's certainly exciting. Colonel Roberts has got to go soon, so I want to hurry through these calls. Fred in Philly, you're on the air. Calling from an electric shaver. Fred, go ahead. Okay, let's let Fred go. John in Canada, first-time caller. John, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hi there, Alex Jones. I've been a supporter for many years now. I'm just, I wanted to, and I noticed that you're talking about the great really awakening. You're saying people are getting smarter and more awake, and a lot of people are getting stupider. Now, I live in Canada here in British Columbia, and I was walking. I understand the whole about the New World Order and their plans and everything. And I was walking down my road the other day, and I saw a big spray painted Illuminati triangle on a wall, and it said Infowars.com, and it said a whole bunch of facts about the New World Order, and I mean, like it explained like Bilderberg, and like this person actually went out and took time to explain this, right? And basically it said like a, and it had an arrow pointing down, like learn the truth. And it had a, it said free DVD. And I went up, and knowing this, I was like shocked. And I went up and I picked up one of these DVDs, and it, I put it in my computer. And basically what it is a, it's a huge compilation of digital media articles, really a huge explanation of the New World Order and the people that are behind it. And it really, like, blew my mind. And it also has a printable map that, I mean, you go down to Staples, you print off this PDF file, and you put all these pieces together, and it is a map that corresponds to the actual DVD and all the media. So the map, so now you have a, literally like a visual connection that you put together that links onto this DVD, and it is just mind-blowing. I mean...
Well, that's like, great. Send me a copy.
I'll send you a copy. I mean, so now you're seeing that, like, I not only, like, now I don't really, you know, feel that alone. You know, I've got a few people in my group that we talk about this, good friends.
Well, listen, you're not alone. The New World Order propaganda is to make us all feel like we're alone when really the majority of people know something's wrong. They just have no idea how bad it really is. And in closing, Colonel Roberts, you want to comment on the power of individuals taking action to wake up others?
Well, that's the only way you can do it. You have to start at the very bottom. You know, you don't know as an individual who you're going to talk to that's going to end up being somebody very important later on that takes that information and uses it. You know, I talk to crowds. You talk to crowds. We've done it together, and but we're preaching to the choir when people come to see us like that, because they know who we are and they've already done some of their homework. But when we go out and we meet strangers, that's the time that we need to engage them in a little bit of conversation and then spoon feed them. You can't dump all this on them at once, or they'll think you're a nutcase and they'll turn the other way. You have to spoon feed them because they're babies. They don't get it yet, and that's where it all starts. And we have to do, you know, as often as we can, as many places as we can to get the information out. And don't get discouraged. That's the big thing. A lot of the people you're going to run into, they're not going to believe you. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to talk about it. That's fine. They've made their decision. Go on down the road. There's no, you know, take the path of least resistance and go to the next person. That's the only way we're going to do this.
And we don't have a choice because the New World Order is not going to back off.
Oh no, they're going to beat on the door. You know, they're the wolf outside the door, and they're going to be there beating on the door. And we just have to figure out how we're going to build our houses. Are we going to build them out of straw, or are we going to build them out of bricks?
Bottom line, they want to steal what you've got. They want to steal your mind, your soul. They traffic in the souls of men, and that's why they're so fired up. I mean, because they hate goodness, they hate decency, they hate people that are self-sufficient. They love enslavement. I mean, that's just... And listen, I appreciate your call. That was very, very exciting, John in Canada. Good to hear from you. Thanks for holding to tell us that. In closing, and I'm going to take your calls after the break, folks, so stay with us. Colonel, in closing, in the last few minutes we've got left here before we end this segment and you leave us, you know, being a police officer, also being in the military, being in Vietnam, you know, a little more worldly in that you've actually seen evil, degradation, death, destruction. A lot of people lead such sheltered lives. They go from work to school to home to watch TV. They judge the world through their eyes. They imagine that everybody's nice and sweet like they are, or people aren't scheming because they're not scheming. They don't understand the true nature of evil. That's why women get in the car with serial killers, little kids get in vans with, you know, pedophiles and get raped and tortured and killed. Can you speak to people not being naive and to the fact that there is true evil and what evil is?
Well, you know, from the very beginning of time, evil has been half of everything that's out there. It's equally balanced. You know, you've got hot and cold, male and female, night and day, you know, hard and soft, fire and water. All this stuff is equally balanced. If you have to understand that you cannot have good, and that's the only thing that's around in this plane, on this planet. It's a physical planet, and therefore you have evil, you have bad things, or we wouldn't have those languages, you know, those words in our language. You've got the Bible, it talks about it over and over again. It talks about unrighteous men, it talks about Satan, it talks about evil, it talks about, you know, death and destruction that come from bad people. That's been here from the beginning, it's going to be here till the end, and we have to figure out where we're going to sit in there, but we also have to know that we don't fear it. We do not fear it. We're braver, we're tougher, and we're smarter than it is. And you have to face Satan by saying, get thee behind me. just like Jesus did. You have to deny him any power. I call him Old Hoover because it's like a vacuum cleaner. He'll suck up any soul he can, but if you unplug him, he don't suck very well, you know? So you got to unplug the devil, and you got to stand firm in your convictions, and that's basically what you've got to do.
Well, I think that's the key, and don't let the devil get you down if you're still worldly or still do bad things. The point is you're trying to be good, you're trying to live a good life, you're trying to help others. And by committing yourself, I mean, that's what I'm getting from what you're saying, Colonel. It's the commitment that you're going to stand for righteousness and good, you're going to fight evil, and you're not afraid anymore. You're committed, you pass the point of no return. That is the empowering point.
Yeah, and don't fear anything. What are people afraid of? They're afraid of getting hurt or they're afraid of dying. Let me tell you something right now. Getting hurt, yeah, we all do that. Dying, you don't ever die. Your body might die, but you don't, folks. And so you're going to be held accountable for what you do in this life. I've already been there. I've reconned it out. I've checked it out. I'm reporting back. Don't fear death. It doesn't happen.
All right, Colonel Roberts, always great to have you on, riflewarrior.com. God bless you, my friend, and let me set you up in the next few weeks to come back on with us.
We'll do it.
All right, God bless you. There goes Colonel Craig Roberts, great soul. My websites are infowars.com and prisonplanet.com. We're going to go to Fred and Chanel and Tom and Derek and John and others when we get back after this break. You know how you get the shackles off? You just start standing up with a box of chalk,
don't
colored chalk.
No shackles.
You can go out on the city
don't
street.
No shackles on me.
And put little messages, websites,
don't
slogans,
no
ideas.
Don't want no
in a small town, doing it on a side street. You know, hundreds will see it over the next few days before it rains. Might stay there for weeks. The big city, thousands would see it. Some folks put out an anti-war fake New York Times to tens of thousands of homes in New York City, a fake 14-pager. It made international news from Japan to Russia, the United States. Hundreds of millions of people conservatively heard about it. It said George Bush arrested for treason. And that idea got out there. Well, we can do similar things. I don't say go spray paint a school or knock out windows, but people spray painting government buildings, whatever. What if you just put a sign out on your own property? Or what if you go where all the mindless graffiti folks are just putting, a lot of it's pretty, but, you know, just a brick abutment where it isn't on somebody's private property, but where people are already spray painting. But not even that, just using chalk and then, or taking a photo. I think that the caller in Canada, John, who just called about 10 minutes ago, talking about, you know, waking up to the New World Order, a big Infowars.com, free DVD, you know, learn the truth here with an arrow to a pile of DVDs that the person obviously replenishes there. What about if you're a cop and you see something like that, you just don't report it to the graffiti people? See, it's little things you do that'll bring the tyranny down. And then what if you see that and take a photo of it and then put it on the web or email it to, say, Aaron at Infowars.com. Then we can post it on the website. Hundreds of thousands of people that day can see it. And then that gives them the idea to do the same thing until suddenly messages and slogans and ideas against the New World Order are everywhere. There are so many things that you can do. All right, let's go to your phone calls. I got a bunch of news, a bunch of audio clips, key info coming up. There's so much of it, though, that if I plug what's coming up, might as well just go ahead and go to it. So I'm going to go through a bunch of news after we take the calls that have been holding the longest. Man, so many calls here. Who's up first? Chanel in Arizona, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome.
Thank you. This is a real fight that we're in, and we have to use knowledge and spiritual warfare. Now, the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, and that is how we win. I started a newspaper to go out to pastors to inform the congregations of what's going on, because I find that most Christians are the most uninformed people out there.
And that's because the Rockefellers were the World Council of Churches in the last 100 years, and they admit this, through the Carnegie Foundation, took over the churches, and they pay the leaders of the denominations to keep quiet.
Okay. Well, hopefully, you know, they get it out to their people or even read it. If not, you know, I'm determined to walk the streets and
Are you kidding? Are you kidding?
Listen.
That is key to reach out to the preachers. That's why FEMA and the feds do it. I couldn't think of something more important.
Yeah. And I had a question for you. I was watching Brown do his last New World Order speech, and he mentioned that world trade would be going on, that something about beggar by neighbor. Can you expound on what that's about?
Well, I know Gordon Brown every 2 days or so calls for world government and police state and the end of the family and carbon taxes and regulators running every facet of your life. That's the Prime Minister of England, for those that don't know. But my ISDN line cut out right when you said the term. What is the term he said about world trade?
Beggar by neighbor.
He said world trade would be beggar by neighbor.
Yeah, beggar by neighbor. I did a little bit of research on it on Investopedia or something like that. And it has to do with devaluating the currency and import and export trade.
Yeah, I didn't know what beggar by neighbor meant, but I know they're all calling for a global unified currency devaluation that shows the banker's power, this private group of banks, and then they will regulate the world. And then every time we give them more power, they just squeeze us tighter. We give them the bailout, they squeeze tighter. They steal all the money, they say they want more. So beggar by neighbor. No, well, thanks for telling us what it means, and I'll check into it, Chanel. Anything else?
Oh, that's it. Thank you very much. Keep up the good work, and God bless you.
God bless you. You're awesome. We'll be right back. So amazing. There are all these congressmen and government leaders saying, show us where the money went, the trillions. The Federal Reserve says, no. Read that bill you passed. It says, we run everything. But then they go out and they tell the public, oh, there's total transparency. Everything's happy. The taxpayer's being protected. All right, let's go ahead and quickly go to your phone calls, because I do want to get into all these audio clips and news I have before Bob Chapman joins us for our weekly visit. Tom in Colorado, you're on the air.
Hey, there he is.
Hello, my friend.
Man, it takes a long time to get through to you. I got about 10,000 questions. I'll limit it to a couple. First of all, what happens if Obama is found to be Kenyan by birth before the election? Does that mean Bush just takes over?
I mean, I doubt that's going to happen, and people are all focused on it because the guy's a puppet, so I don't worry too much. It may come out later, and then they'd try to have some 22nd Amendment repealed for him, which would open the door up for Arnold Schwarzenegger, who we know openly wants to run for president, and he told Rolling Stone to be our dictator and then king of the world. And then the yuppies say, no one wants to be king of the world. No one in power wants more power. That's a conspiracy theory, as every world leader calls for world government. But if that happened, they would probably amend the Constitution for him, saying, well, it was the people's popular vote, and it's a constitutional crisis. And they would say the economy's in too much trouble while this emergency's going on. We've got to change this now. And they would hurry with a constitutional convention and rush it through and probably, you know, change the Second Amendment, a bunch of other stuff during the con.
Absolutely.
But I'm not, hold on, but people take me out of context. I'm saying hypothetically that could happen to your question. I'm not saying that's going to happen.
Yeah. The other possibility I'm seeing is that once he gets into office, after he's been our savior for a few months or whatever, they get a white supremacist to come up there and shoot him. And that starts a whole race war all over America, martial law, prison camps, you know, FEMA camps and everything. You know?
Absolutely. Everybody keeps worrying about that which then makes me think that that's a direction the New World Order won't go. Now, they could certainly have an attempt on him, get some drugged-out mental patients who, it'll turn out, were in Army psychiatric facilities, it's always the same, who will, you know, detonate a bomb a quarter mile from him or try to shoot him. Hitler, to make himself sound invincible early on when he first got elected and to crack down, staged bombings against himself. When he would say, I'm having a psychic moment, I have to leave the podium, then he'd leave, and 5 minutes later, a bomb would blow up. Now, later, it was a real assassination attempt at the Wolf's Lair when the general staff tried to blow him up, but the bomb deflected under the big desk, and so it only hurt Hitler. Again, with Hitler, they wanted to kill him because he really was the leader. With Barack Obama, George Bush, Bill Clinton. By the way, I've gotten emails going, you can't handle it. We've got a black president. You're just racist. That's why you keep saying he's a puppet, because you can't have it that we have a black man running things. And I'm like, no, I've always said presidents have been puppets since Kennedy. And I'm not even going to respond to your political correctness trying to cow me into not saying what's true and what's real. So that's what's going on. What's your second question?
Well, I mean, really, I don't care what color a man's skin is, if he can do the job, and what's important is who he's loyal to. You know,
well, he's loyal to the foreign banks that run the socialism to steal our wealth. He wants to take your guns, he wants to be your master, he wants to enslave you, like all big foundation fake liberals do.
Yep. And people just don't get it. Oh, no, he's going to save our country. No, he ain't going to save our country. He's going to act like he's saving our country. He's going to look like he's saving our country. He's going to make you think he's looking and saving our country. But, you know, while you're watching what his left hand's doing over here saving the country, the right hand's going to be over here handing over sovereignty to foreign nations.
I hear you, and I appreciate your call. Good to hear from you there in Colorado, Tom. Derek and PA are on the air.
Hello. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. First of all, I'd like to talk on two comments, please. First of all, Rahm Emanuel talking about how he's going to have a love circle of martial law. It's ridiculous how he...
Yeah, he told the New York Daily News, he said, you will be forced to serve the government in uniform in domestic spy brigades, but he said, don't worry, it'll be a love circle. With these fake, hardcore liberals, they've got conservatives thinking they're a bunch of idiot liberals, but they're not idiot liberals, they're hardcore social engineers. Go ahead.
It's so sad, Alex, because they try to play off these feelings of you know, the oppressed public wanting to be loved and protected by the elite, but in reality, they're really just being oppressed. And he called it a love. I saw on YouTube that actual I guess it was an interview with Rahm Emanuel, and he actually called it a love circle. And it's just so pathetic, you know, that the public buzzed up and eats it up. Oh, Obama and Rahm, they're going to save us, you know. But the second point I'd like to make is that there's a hip-hop artist out there called Sage Francis, and he actually produced a song about the Denver Republican National Convention, the abuse there by the black suit operatives, basically.
Well, you know, I didn't see it all. I heard the reports of police starting fights, but because I didn't see it, I said, we're getting reports, but now the police admit they went and attacked other cops that didn't know, so the police could then attack the peaceful crowds and take them to a FEMA camp. And, I mean, that's in the Denver Post, and people are still denying it.
Yeah, well, I just like to shout out his website. It's conspiracytoriot.com. conspiracytoriot.com, that's the name of the song, and you can go and see, it's actually about his friend who's arrested there, and you can read all about it. Maybe you might want to play it, maybe during one of the intros or endings.
All right, conspiracytoriot.com, anything else?
That's it, and I just like to thank you so much for everything you've done, all your friends, and Bob Chapman, excellent guest, stay tuned for that.
Yeah, he's coming up, we'll have open phones with him as well. Let's go ahead and talk to John in Illinois. Go ahead, John.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how's it going there, Alex?
Good.
This is the first time I've been able to get through. I've
Welcome.
Called probably a trillion times, but first time I've ever been able to get through, and I'm glad to talk to you, man.
Well, here you are, and it's good to talk to you. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I was going to discuss some of the stuff that Tom from Colorado was talking about Obama and the whole staged race riot. What's your opinion on that?
No, I think Obama is going to make everybody think about race more. See, multiculturalism is actually meant to make you be more aware of what color somebody is or what race somebody is, and to make the, quote, minority groups make their identity about their race, not about liberty or freedom. And so it's to get you off track to not discover liberty, but never discover it. And then it's also about making whites feel all guilty and weird so that mind controllers can attach whatever agenda they want on to the multiculturalism. And so it's just like global warming is, oh, you're guilty. You did something bad as a human, but you can pay a tax to fix it. And see, that also gives the globalists control, but it also diverts the public away from all the real environmental problems like GMO foods that are killing us. Absolutely. I mean, they're giving us cancer. It gives all mammals cancer fast. I mean, it kills you quick, and we're all getting killed by it. And, you know, we need to stop it. And, you know, and the plastic and that has the hormones in it, and the cell phones are killing us, and the fluoride's killing us, and it's all admitted, and they're not taking it out. And I'm just warning people.
Absolutely, and you're doing a wonderful job. And just a quick thing, you know, to all the haters out there that, you know, keep sending you messages and whatnot, hey, people, take off your blinders and really listen to what this man is saying. He doesn't participate in the whole BS left-right paradigm. They're all puppets. And like you said, you know, since Kennedy and probably even back beyond that, I mean, this nation.
Oh, he was no angel, but he really tried to be president. You know, whether he was doing good stuff or bad stuff, and a lot of it was good, he was not playing ball with them, and so they said, bang, you're dead.
Yep. Well, keep up
the
good
Reagan.
Fight.
Well, thank you. Reagan wasn't doing everything he was told, and they shot him, and clearly he was really shot in the car. Go ahead.
Yeah, Tarpley actually touched on that in his autobiography of George Bush, if I recall.
Oh, it's on record. The Hinckleys. Yep. Our personal friends with the Bushes, they met with him the night before.
Mm-hmm.
They're about to let him out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the mental ward, totally staged.
Absolutely. Keep up a good fight. And all the haters out there, y'all just need to listen to what this man is saying.
I appreciate your call, but I want to make people understand something. I don't gripe about people attacking me because I personally care. I mean, I really don't. Now, if I get to know you and I consider you to be a friend, when you talk bad about me or lie about me, then it's personal, and I can't help it. Then I just absolutely hate you and do everything I can to get you out of my life. But other than that, people I don't know or people that I see on the other side, I don't care. I literally don't care. But it's the denial. I mean, the government admits they've built FEMA camps. They admit they're training police for gun confiscation. They admit they're using the National Guard to confiscate guns in several states. They admit they're doing all of this in youth brigades and all of it. And the people go on the message boards and say, I'm lying? Or they build straw men. They say, you said that George Bush was going to suspend the election, and you're a liar. But they give no source. Contrary to that, I said, ladies and gentlemen, we're already in martial law to a certain extent. They're only going to incrementally turn the heat up. And don't start thinking George Bush is going to do this. He is going to pass the power on, and each president is going to incrementally turn the heat up. That's what Fabians do. It's the incremental school of control, the slow boil. And I had all these big liberals up saying, listen, Naomi Wolf, when Bush leaves office and your king, Barack Obama's in there, you watch, he's going to follow every policy of George Bush, because it isn't a George Bush policy. It's a New World Order policy. And she said, well, I hope you're wrong, but I'll speak out if that's the case. Well, we'll see now. So I'm tired of having to defend things I didn't say or I didn't do. The big fashionable thing out there on the web now is to edit my shows together where I'm bashing gay people or bashing blacks or bashing Mexicans or... And the public is so stupid that a lot of them actually even buy into it. But that's okay. I mean, you're always going to have those that fall prey to that. And I've got enemies that are so bought into the system, whether they're paid or not, to attack me, that they're signed on until the end to try to discredit me. I just put it in God's hands. It's my job to expose what's going on, and then I leave it at that. You know, I put the info out, and what people do with it is their problem. This is Australian TV a few years ago, and I personally have gone out and found the public is about half as dumb as this piece. I mean, you see some of it in Endgame. About 90% of those we talked to didn't understand basic terms. Now, this Australian TV, from what I've experienced, found particularly stupid people, but really, the average American is closer to Miss South Carolina in their education and information about the world around them, and basic definitions and terms of geography, you name it, than they are, say, to somebody like myself. I mean, they're a lot closer on the spectrum. And that's a scary thing, and that's what encourages the bankers to go crazy. That's what encourages them to just keep doing what they're doing. They keep testing. They steal $2 trillion in front of you. Why not steal $3 trillion more? They openly keep it for bonuses and laugh at us. Nothing happens. They go forward. They're not going to stop. And that's why they're now telling you on the news, we will completely collapse into road warrior. They are sucking everything dry. They hate this country. They've always wanted to bring it down, and they're doing it financially. This is economic genocide. This is a economic 9/11. Let's go ahead and play this clip of Americans, and they show them a map and say, "Where's Iran?" And they put a flag on Australia. And let me tell you, I talked to the public; they are like that, folks. I mean, they are deadly dangerous. They can the government could tell those zombies that we were Al Qaeda, and they'd tear us apart. They can tell them anything they want. They tell cops that protesters are terrorists, so the cops are, oh, okay, we got to go set them up then. We can't have terrorists out on the streets. You know, the cops aren't that dumb, but they're not as dumb as the people you're about to hear, but they're close. So let's go ahead and play part of the clip. Here it is.
Look, I know a lot of people give Americans a bum rap for being stupid and knowing nothing about the world, but the reality couldn't be further from the truth. As I discovered on the streets here, asking US locals about the very world their country runs.
Name a country that begins with U.
Yugoslavia?
With U, Utah.
A country that starts with a U.
Utopia.
Who's in the coalition of the willing?
No freaking idea.
Afghanistan, Kuwait.
Iraq, Pakistan, you know.
New Zealand?
New Zealand.
What's the religion of Israel?
Israeli.
Muslim.
Islamic.
Catholic, probably.
What religion are Buddhist monks?
Buddhist monks.
Buddhist monks.
Islamic, I don't know.
Who won the Vietnam War?
We did.
And who was...
Wait, were we even in the Vietnam War? Okay, good.
Who is Fidel Castro?
A singer.
How many sides does a triangle have?
Damn, four.
There's no sides. One.
What is the currency used in the United Kingdom?
What's the currency in the United Kingdom?
What is it?
In the United Kingdom, I don't know.
Possibly American money.
Queen Elizabeth's money? That's all I know.
Name a country that begins with U.
A country?
Yeah. What about this one?
What?
United States of America. In terms of the war on terror, who do you think should be the next country to invade?
Saudi Arabia.
Somebody in the Middle East.
We'll make a big glass crater out of the Middle East, for all I care.
I'm thinking Italy.
Italy.
Mm-hmm. Cuba.
Cuba?
Yeah.
Iran.
Iran? Why is that?
I think there's a revolution going on pretty soon.
Russia, China.
India and Pakistan.
Indonesia, Brazil.
Korea?
Sure. Yeah, why do you say that?
They're trouble.
They're trouble? Yep, okay. What's trouble about them?
Your attitude.
Canada.
Sri Lanka?
Right here.
Ah. Never heard of it.
Iran?
Iran? Yeah. Okay. All right, do I put a number one in Iran there?
Stop. Where am I?
Yeah, I'm thinking
then. Okay.
North Korea.
Korea.
North Korea? Why do you think North Korea?
Nuclear.
Nuclear?
Yeah.
Probably France.
France?
Oh, yeah. Because of the they want our allies.
Right. I put number two on France. Why would you say France? Yeah.
Oh, no, it seemed to be some friction between France and the United States.
Where do you think the best place to invade Iran would be from? Think it'd be from the north or the south? Or
all
the
right.
East or the
west? And in that shot right there, he's showing him Australia, and the guy's going, I never had an idea Iran was so big. Oh, I got a call that disagrees with me. I hadn't noticed that. We'll go to you, Phil, and we'll get back. We're going to go talk to Americans and see how much they know about the world they run. See, it's been put out through the global corporate media, including Rupert Murdoch owns stuff overseas that we're bad, we're stupid, which in a way is true, but that we run things. So we take the blame for the wars. We take the blame for the banking collapse. That's what Paulson said yesterday. He said, we're sorry America did this, and we're now going to hand everything over to the new global authority, which is the private banks that sit above the nation states. And so if you have an anti-American sentiment, why, you're for the bankers taking over. Or if you're against George Bush, you're for the global carbon tax. See how they set it up? Are you for George Bush or are you for a global carbon tax? Well, I want a carbon tax. I hate him. Are you against those evil Americans? Yes. Well, then you want world government. Absolutely, I do. That's how the psychology works. It's childlike games. It's like if you have a child and you want them to go to bed, you can play mind games with them. You can say, you want to go to bed now or in 10 minutes? And they'll say, in 10 minutes, and then they've now acquiesced and won't argue. The same tricks are on the news. The same tricks. Stop being idiots. They're openly announcing world government everywhere, and I'm getting emails saying I'm making it up. I mean, well, let's talk to Phil in Canada. He disagrees, goes to the head of the line. Go ahead, Phil.
Hello, Alex.
Hi.
You know, I love you. You are an island of sanity in a world of idiocy, and I really, really agree with virtually everything that you talk about.
Are you calling on a Skype phone?
No.
Well, I can't hear but about half of what you're saying. You're calling on a regular telephone.
Yeah, it's an internet telephone.
Well, yeah, that's what I thought.
I hope it comes through okay.
No, it doesn't come through too good, but go ahead and tell me what you disagree with.
I disagree with our movement allowing these people who stole the world, the words New World Order from Republican Liberty, and they are using it to put forward this global world government by criminals. This Tory Whig cabal our forefathers actually overcame years and years ago. You know, everybody wants a new house, a new car, a new TV, a new boat. We are parroting their propaganda. This is a not so new world order.
Oh, I agree, but I mean they are setting up a new world empire, and that's what new world order means. Is they're saying we are setting up a global tyranny to wage war against free humanity and to carry out eugenics policies. And so
I agree with you 100%. You know, but I'm saying that by us complaining about a new world order, it sounds like we're the anarchists, we're the Luddites. You know, and in fact, our forefathers were the Luddites, and they definitely did fear this concentration of power in the hands of noble elites and their elite Whig.
No, I hear you. I got to let you go as your phone's cutting out. But what they really feared was the elites conning the howling mob to go rob the middle class. And so the controlled corporate media always badmouths the evil founding fathers and you know, exaggerates what they did or makes them look bad and says they were rich old white men. No, they were middle class people who wanted to be able to set up their own little private empires, and they had to get the bigger empire off their back to do that. That's human nature. And because they understood that, they openly said that. They said, we're bad, but we want to give our children a better future. And so we'll have a separation of powers to tie the hands of evil men like us. They understood human nature. They were amazing people. And they led the way. The American system, Tarpley was saying the American system, was Hamilton. It was not Hamilton. The American system was Eli Whitney and the cotton gin, and then manufacturing, mass manufacturing. Before, every gun was different, was handmade. Before, every buggy was handmade, or every bit that went in the horse's mouth was handcrafted and different. It was mass production in the factory. It was Eli Whitney. So we literally invented it all. We'll be right back. Now we're a bunch of idiots. Bob Chapman with us with his once-a-week visit, the International Forecaster. A jam-packed fourth hour today. We are live at PrisonPlanet.tv. Got a lot of audio clips I want to play. I have your calls to take for Bob Chapman on the economy or any other issue he can speak to it, and a lot of news to cover. City Council of Detroit wants a $10 billion bailout from the federal government, i.e. taxpayer money given to them that we have to pay back. Ford and GM want $50 billion. GE wins FDIC insurance for up to $139 billion in debt. So their stock plunged. Walmart, though, is the only group out there posting a profit because they're predatory. They have the slave systems. They have the slave camps. They have the factory deals. They have the inside deal, the inside track. They are meant to deindustrialize the United States. They are part of the globalist military attack through the financial system, or this financial siege, this financial genocide. So Walmart post higher third quarter profits because they will cut prices to below what it's even costing them to savage everyone else. So again, the parasitic system, they only get more powerful as the host begins to die. Bailouts lack oversight despite billions pledged. Now that's a whitewash itself. Watchdog panel is empty. Report is unfinished. It says 6 weeks since lawmakers approved the Treasury's massive bailout. That's actually wrong. It's been 5 weeks, but whatever. And then they go into whitewashing things, saying it's $700 billion. It's $5 trillion. $5 trillion. That's an AP and Bloomberg. And they've already stolen that. $2 trillion. They won't even say where it went. Bonner demands Fed identify recipients of loans. Talk to Bob Chapman about this first when we come back out of the break. House Republican John Bonner called for the Federal Reserve to disclose the recipients of $2 trillion of emergency loans. And they said no, and they issued blacked-out pages. And then Treasury Secretary and Fed Chairman get up on TV and say, we've given you total transparency. The taxpayers are protected. And then Greenspan goes on Lehrer NewsHour Monday and says, we are above the law. We are above everyone. No one can even investigate us. Another one here out of the Washington Post, Bush out of office could oppose inquiries. CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, they're all putting out the disinfo that, oh, Bush is expanding Patriot 2 before he leaves, non-legislatively, and it says that police can be federalized and spy on anyone for even non-political reasons or non-criminal reasons, just total tyranny, which is what Obama wants, the million-man domestic spy force, and it said Obama can't reverse it if Bush does it. Total lie. Obama could instantly reverse it. But see, they're already telling you, oh, Obama can't change what Bush did. Knowing the public doesn't even know, over a fifth of Americans can't find the U.S. on a map. Okay? 80-something percent in a big study I saw didn't know who the vice president was. So they're telling you, and they tell you in the New York Times, Congress can't subpoena the president. The president's above Congress. Really? How come they have to approve all of his cabinet? The House and the Senate are above the president. They're not co-equal. That's why legislatures used to send the senators, because the founders knew you had to have the real power in the legislature because it had more checks and balances. But now the New York Times comes out and tells you, hey, there's nothing you can do, and puts out this disinformation that there's no oversight. Just like Alan Greenspan says, there's no oversight. Since when? And the public isn't buying it, but still the globalists don't care. So we're going to come back and talk to Bob Chapman right now. Suicide attack kills 10 Afghans, U.S. soldiers, and officials. Paranoia on the rise. Las Vegas Sun is reporting that experts say that, and it says paranoia about the New World Order. You believe there's a New World Order? You're crazy. It's just all over TV and radio. Also, they've announced statewide warrantless checkpoints in Texas. They spun it in the media that's for illegal aliens. You read the fine print. The illegal aliens are above the law. They're to be released. This is for citizens. So that's all coming up, ladies and gentlemen, with Bob Chapman, your phone calls, and a lot more on the other side of this break. In fact, for PrisonPlanet.tv members, I'm going to go ahead and talk to Bob. Let me go ahead and talk to Bob right now. Bob?
Yes?
We're going to come back, and let's just rapid-fire get your comments on each one of these points I just raised, then get into where the economy's going right now, how they're still hammering gold, and then take a lot of calls for you, okay?
Okay.
And I've got some other interesting audio clips I'm going to be playing today, so it'll be a jam-packed time that's coming up. We're just on the Internet right now, but that's millions in the aggregate, but hundreds of thousands listening right now to the podcast and on the streams, and thousands watching at PrisonPlanet.tv. In the 2 minutes we've got before we come back, give the folks watching a preview of some of the things you want to talk about, what you think is most important right now.
Well, I think the change of pace by the Secretary of the Treasury, they've been at it for 15 months and they still don't know where they're going. Everything they've tried has been unsuccessful. And as you pointed out, all their sweetheart deals that they've been giving to their other illuminous friends, they won't even tell you who they're giving the money to, which is the height of arrogance. And the situation in the market, market was down 300, the announcement came out, president's going to speak, the market goes down to even, and then he speaks, and the market goes back up 250, and now it's come back down again. And so every time the plunge protection team runs the market up, institutions, the public, come in and sell. So the market's not going anywhere, and eventually it's going to go lower. Gold just rallied $12, actually about $18, and now it's got on its way back to even again. It's like a circus.
All of this says total manipulation.
Total. And it's not only these markets, it's all over the world. And, you know, you get this meeting coming up in a couple of days, and what are they going to do? They're going to tell the world that they're going to print and money and credit every country as fast as humanly possible, and that they're going to, as well, all bring their interest rates to zero. And that'll probably buy them about 2 years. And then they'll get into the Japanese syndrome, and they'll all go down together.
But not before the elites have tried to position themselves in a safe position and set up a police state as a rearguard action against us as they leave scorched earth, so we're too busy trying to feed ourselves to ever go after them.
And that's why it's so important. Everybody should have food, a filter, and weapons at home. It's a primary objective of every one of you out there.
All right, let's come in with Bob Chapman of InternationalForecaster.com for the full AM and FM satellite shortwave audience in T-minus 3 seconds. Here we go.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, Bob Chapman with us for 52 minutes today, and your phone calls, some other audio clips I want to play. We've got Salente predicts revolution, food riots, tax rebellions by 2012. Trends Research Institute, he's just like Bob, his predictions of about 95% accuracy. When CNN wants to know about top trends, we ask Gerald Salente. But the problem is that they wouldn't have him on years ago when he was saying this. Now they want him on to fully panic people. Now they want to route things. So we've got Bob Chapman on with us, our financial expert who joins us once a week, to go over what's happening with the markets right now. Bob, first off, they're telling us Bretton Woods 2. They're openly announcing that they want a, quote, new world order run by the banks where they set commodity prices, where they set and globally rigged stock markets publicly, what they're already doing behind the scenes, where they set the currencies, where they have a global devaluation of the currencies and interest rates to zero, and where the private group of banks runs and controls other banks and institutions of the world. We will pay carbon taxes to them. We will pay money transfer taxes to them. This is it. They say out of this meeting this weekend, they'll have a string of others over the next year. They're going to use the crisis to force us onto the system. Break down what we're going to see this weekend and what you think they'll be able to set up and then how you see that unfolding. Salente, he says the same thing that you're saying. He says by 2012, it will be war in the streets, literally Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. And he's saying that the bankers did it basically by design. He says we've had a bloodless coup with Wall Street taking over the U.S. and looting. And they're letting him say this on mainstream TV. Bob Chapman.
They like him more than they like me because they won't invite me on mainstream TV. They told me I was a street fighter last time, and that's probably very true. I did grow up on the streets, and I was a street fighter. But that was a long time ago. Out of the meeting, what they're going to get is zero interest rates. Everybody's going to do that, all the central banks. And they will print money and credit until the cows come home. And so what are we going to have? We're going to have hyperinflation to offset the underlying deflation that we're in. We're having a small hiatus now for 3-4 months where inflation will back off a little bit. Don't be fooled out there, because it's coming back with a vengeance, the monetization of these trillions of dollars that are being created. And so that's where we're headed. I think as time goes on and the market goes lower, which I believe it will, that what we will have is continued pressure on the working group and financial markets, and the other name for that is the plunge protection team. And I think they're going to continue to lose power. Their abilities are going to wane, and not only in the stock market but also in other markets as well. And as this unfolds, I think that the stock market will go lower, the dollar will go lower against other currencies, and all currencies will go lower against gold, and gold will finally, over the next year, break loose and get on its own and go to the level where it reasonably should be.
By the way, Bob, a lot of other big
inflation historical basis. Say that again.
No, I'm sorry to interrupt. A lot of mainline analysts are saying what you're saying. They're saying that big financial institutions, by cutting off liquidity, by killing the markets, are using this as a time to consolidate this contraction in Main Street and the industrial base, the real economy, but that as soon as that is over, as bad as all the closings and shutdowns and layoffs are, the worst is yet to come in the next year, leading into 2012, into 3 years, as the hyperinflation compounds on top of the depression we see in the real economy. And so would you say that that is the unknown economic land that we've never entered of hyper-stagflation?
Yes. It's going to be worse than the 1930s for a number of reasons. It's like a spinning top, and the top goes faster and faster, and all of a sudden it flips out and goes into orbit, and you don't see it anymore because the system collapses. And that's what we're faced with. Yes, we had abuse of credit during the 1920s, but nothing like you see today. I mean, there were no credit cards, just as an example. And we had relative law and order in those days. There were not large amounts of criminals like the millions of people who are incarcerated in America today. And so the underlying, and we were a creditor nation. People owed us money. And we had backing on our currency of gold, which we don't have today. So all of these factors and many others, you put them together, and as they say in England, it looks like a dog's breakfast from here to 2012. And I agree, things are going to get nasty. I keep on telling people over and over again, get out of debt, the credit card debt, the revolving debt. You know, get the things in you need, the food, the filter, the weapons. You're going to need them.
Bob, what about
have them there?
What about this G20 meeting in D.C. this weekend, openly announcing Baron Rothschild was in the UAE national paper saying we're setting up world government. This is the new world order. Meanwhile, Rush Limbaugh says the Rothschilds don't exist. That's a quote to his idiot, fake conservative audience that's been lulled to sleep. We're the real conservatives, by the way, if you didn't know that, if you're a Rush Limbaugh minion. I mean, this is going to be a rude awakening for them who keep living in denial, but that's part two. What do you see coming up this weekend?
Well, we've really touched on the two main points. There'll be a number of things put forward on transparency, which is just a subterfuge, And they'll talk about global warming and talk about China spending $460 billion on infrastructure. And, you know, the Chinese just spent a lot of time over the net last year. Their currency had strengthened, and their inflation dropped from about 8% to about 4.2%. And, you know, they were kind of getting it together, although unemployment was rising because economic growth had dropped from 11.5% down to about 9.5%, and they're projecting 9% this coming year, although I see Credit Suisse is projecting 7.2%, and I think Credit Suisse is right. And anything under 8% means riots, all kinds of real problems in China. And they've already got them. They've already got plenty demonstrations. Big
what ones. They've got is Chinese cops raping little girls, being caught on tape. They burn whole cities. You just don't hear about it in our news. The Chinese people, you want to call it the American spirit, which is arrogant, the human spirit, they are taking on the police and the military and defeating them all across the country. And even with a, quote, good economy, the people are sick of being slaves. The Chinese people in Beijing climb up on lampposts and pull down surveillance cameras. They will not allow it. And that's what's so shameful is Americans think we're so free. Even in communist China, they want the liberty.
Everybody wants liberty and freedom. And when you have essentially a mercantilist system that's operating in the world today. This is the old British system that Alexander Hamilton wanted to hang on Americans. This is a system which allows open and free trade, and the people who make all the money are the transnational elitist corporations, and then they take that money to extend into control. And that's what we've got today, and it's got to be reversed. In order for Western Europe and America and many other parts of the world to survive, we can't have free trade because there's no level playing field. I mean, every time they have free trade, people start devaluing their currencies.
Well, that's the biggest issue that I always make. Yeah, so they can make the goods cheaper there and undercut you. That the globalists admit in their own handbooks, UN, Club of Rome, that the global warming's all fake. It's a tax to regulate and control our everyday lives. That's why they chose carbon dioxide. It's basically output in all manufacturing, all commerce, you know, transportation, you name it. It's a total control. But, I mean, let's just say it's real. Carbon dioxide's deadly. How is not letting us have basically any output here and taxing it going to empower the people or stop global warming when it will just make all the industry that hasn't left, that 20%, go to India and China and Mexico and Bangalore? I mean, and all the studies show these policies will boost greenhouse gases because the industry will go to nations that have no controls, and the UN has no intention of making those countries do it. This is asinine.
It just shows you the fallacy of the whole thing. It just shows you what a big lie it is and what a big scam it is. It's just like terrorism. I mean, where is it? It doesn't exist, except in small pockets here and there. The point is, it was the scam to get it going. I would have never dreamed they would have been able to get away with it, but they have. And, of course, the extension of that is this, quote, financial meeting that they're having for the group of 20. And as you said earlier, it'll be stretched over a year or two before they are attempting to get implemented what they want. In the meantime, as we've discussed before in the program, I think there's a good chance that they're going to have another war, a bigger one. And Paul described that last week.
What do you think the big surprise is, the 21st or 22nd? I want to be clear. We're already being blamed for that. We're making the prediction. No, we're talking about Biden, we're talking about Powell, talking about Merkel, Barroso, Brown, the Secretary of State, Rice. We're not saying it. They're saying it's going to happen. If it doesn't happen, that's just them terrorizing us. But we have to report on them saying this. What is it, Bob?
Well, it could very well be an invasion of another country, which would bait Russia or force Russia into a confrontation with the United States, because Russia's the one that they're after.
All right, we got so much to cover. For everybody on the AM and FM, all our great affiliates, be sure and support the sponsors coming up. For everybody else, I'm going to talk to Bob on the web and at PrisonPlanet.tv during this break to take some phone calls, because I don't want to waste any time here today and the time we have left. InfoWars.com is the website. Okay, let's go ahead and go to, I guess, Turbo's up next, John?
Yep, that's correct.
Turbo in California, you're on the air with Alex Jones and Bob Chapman of the InternationalForecaster.com.
Hey, Alex, first let me say that I am a member, a subscriber of Prison Planet TV, and it's wonderful.
Thank you for making the show possible.
Well, sir, now, my original reason for calling up, I've been on hold for like 45 minutes.
I understand.
Okay, it was for to ask you a two-part question, but after hearing Mr. Chapman there, I got to tell Mr. Chapman that, yeah, okay, here in California, the people in prison that are called criminals, over 60% of them are there for nonviolent drug offenses.
No, but I think his point is that it's a college of crime. They have created a larger, more violent criminal culture. The statistics are, what, 3-4 times, depending on the crime or region, what we had in the 30s. And he's saying people were 90% agrarian instead of 90% urban. I mean, you know, in shorthand, he was just saying that people aren't as well behaved as they were. They're more spoiled. They're not self-sufficient. And because they criminalized drugs and things, it created other corollary crime syndicates or energy centers to be colleges of crime. Bob, do you agree with that statement?
Absolutely, I do. And he's right, too. You know, my former son-in-law had a master's and was studying a PhD in criminology, and I've read the books, and he's absolutely right.
Well, sir, now let me say this. Now, this goes back to why I originally called you, Alex, because I put a lot of stock in your opinions. Now, and I don't know if you coined this phrase, but you've certainly used it, the Bush-Cheney crime cartel, the war profiteering corporations. Now, sir, they are the criminals that have us Americans like in a stranglehold of evil with their depleted uranium munitions, over 4 million innocent Iraqi people dead and dying because of the...
Well, that's right. It's 3 million dead from machine gun bullets, cholera, starvation, bombs. But
and
there are...
But
I was about to say, millions more. Their cancer rate in the regions where it was used is 5 times normal, and the birth defects are even higher than that. And all these arrogant Americans who think, oh, good, they're brown people, kill them. The elite doesn't care about you either.
Right, sir. In fact, I talked to a man from New York City the other day, and he said, oh, the war is good because it shows how strong America is. And I said, sir, what the war shows is the destruction of the United States of America by the filthy corporation.
And it shows that the American people, I played that clip earlier of Americans on a street corner going, bomb this city, bomb that country, bomb France, bomb, bomb. It's like a petty demonic... petty ego power to imagine killing people that makes them in their dim little minds feel some glint of activity or life. It's just they're dull, goblin-like creatures. But there are a lot of good people left in the country. That's why we have to fight the evil so that we can protect ourselves and protect others and not let the globalists use the U.S. as an engine of evil. But I need to see, the reason it was 45 minutes is because the callers are on 3 or 4 minutes apiece. We have guests. We have ads. We run out of time. Anything else? What was your question for me?
Can I say one more thing before I go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'll say this. Okay, I was in prison for 7 years and 8 months.
Hold on. I'm going to go back to the full audience. Here we go. Okay, Turbo in California wants to make a comment with Bob Chapman. Go ahead, Turbo. You're on the air.
Okay, sir, I was in prison here in California for 7 years and 8 months. I lost my land. I lost my right to own a firearm. I don't consider myself to be a criminal. You know who the criminals are? The criminals are all the way from the White House to their whorehouse to their courthouse to their jailhouse and to their nut house, sir. I am not a criminal. I am not a criminal. I never hurt anybody.
Well, you know, with DNA, with the DNA, they found on average more than 30% of people were framed, and I appreciate your call. Bob, you know, I'm not bashing police individually, but there's no doubt their directive, you know, who commands them is bad. We just in Denver found out, and I did see the police act better there than anywhere else, but in the few times they arrested hundreds of protesters, the police went in and attacked other cops under orders, but the cops being attacked didn't know they were other cops, and it came out because cops blew the whistle. But this happens everywhere. And so how do I say, oh, yes, officers, I trust you so much. Everywhere I go at demonstrations, you attack cops to blame it on me to attack the First Amendment. And, you know, they've caught more sheriffs, two or three of them, the last month in Texas, bringing in drugs. They caught the Houston crime lab framing 4,000 plus people. I mean, from the top, they were ordering them to frame. And I see that everywhere across the country, and that's called tyranny. Bob Chapman, I mean, what do you do when you know a large percentage of your forces, the police forces out there, are criminal from the top down? I mean, what do you do with a society like that, Bob?
Well, at the moment, you can't do anything. But I think what's going to happen is they will extend their criminal activities, and the good ones won't participate. They'll quit, and they will. They, the bad ones, will go in league with whomever the military is that accompanies them, and they will become the jackbooted SS that is going to try to lord over us. And that's about the time then we're going to have to act to stop them.
By the way, they announced in the and the governor didn't say this. The proposal is checkpoints to check insurance, driver's license. They are going to arrest and ticket citizens when they do pull over an illegal alien. They generally let them go or they get a $50 fine. So they throw the book at citizens, but not at the illegal aliens, and that's on record. But they sell it that it's to stop the illegal aliens all over the country, but also right here in Texas, warrantless mass checkpoints. I mean, that's like third world dictatorships right there, Bob.
It certainly is. In fact, I don't think in the Soviet countries they even went that far. I mean, they had their Stasi and KGB and so on. But checkpoints only usually at borders. And, you know, they usually were minefields and barbed wire and other things to keep people from breaking out of their prison, so to speak.
That's right. If we had a real border, it would have a minefield on it.
Yes. That's a good point. But the influx that is coming in over our borders is slowing because there isn't any jobs to be filled. And the main reason people leave other countries is to make a better living. And so that's naturally going to slow down. But
I don't blame the people that want to come here. The point is the globalists want them here to drive down wages so there won't be a rebellion in Mexico that could bring in liberty. So, see, any globalist policy is going to be bad for the average person. Hence, I'm against it.
I couldn't agree with you more.
In fact, let me just show the viewers. They won't believe me. I had it here in my stack. Let me just show the viewers out there that are watching on PrisonPlanet.tv. I'll find it during the next break. It was in the Houston Chronicle. It just said they're going to shut down roads. You may have to wait for hours. Everyone will be checked. Their papers will be checked. I mean, is that land of the free, home of the brave, Bob?
Hardly. That is a police state. There's no question.
Let's talk to Bob in California. You're on the air with Bob Chapman. Go ahead, Bob.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, you guys were talking about the police, and that was one of the things I was wanted to talk to you about more towards Alex. I think our police and our military are going to be needed for our own support. And I think criticism, as you said, a majority of them are corrupt.
No, what I said is the attack pattern, the setup, the commanders, the government is bad, and so they're giving them unlawful illegal orders and setting the precedent to violate the Constitution and Bill of Rights and to bring in a tyranny.
with you. There is a minority in there, and it's a minority with trilateralist and the new one-world government people.
Well, that minority is in the command positions. We're going to skip this break again on the Internet. We'll keep talking about this with our guests, and I'll play a clip when we come back. Stay with me. We're on the march. The empire is on the run. Sir, what I'm saying is the command structure, the policy of the government. It's like every German soldier wasn't bad, but their commanders were bad. Their government was run by bad people. Okay? And so they say, support the policy of us taking blood without a warrant at a checkpoint. Support us having warrantless checkpoints of everybody. Support us having your children in school be taught to tattletale on you. I mean, they do that in Austin. I have their own police training videos for the kids. It's in my film, The Road to Tyranny. I mean, the police produced it. That's not good. That's not our system. We know that's bad. That's what we supposedly fought before. So I'm not saying the average cop out there writing tickets or, you know, responding to fires or bank robberies is a bad person. Bob Chapman, can you explain this to him?
Well, I think you've explained it pretty well. That there is a core of people at the top who are taking orders from Washington, and in part because they're partially funded very often. And, of course, they like the money coming back to them as well from the drug bust that they get involved in, and that allows them to pay the employees more money and allows them to easily fund their operation or expand them, make little kingdoms out of them. The police are in between. They follow orders or they lose their job. And there will come a time when there are police people who will say, no, I'm not going to do that. That's an unlawful order, and I'm going home, and you can find somebody else to do this job. I don't think the majority will do that, but there will be police who will do that, who have a conscience.
Well, we know that's been happening.
Over money.
So, but we know they've been doing it, but then you're left with all the bad guys.
That's true. But, you know, they stand a tremendous risk. Here they are in a country of over 300 million people that has 450 million weapons. I mean, what can these police be thinking of? Just because they wear black uniforms and they've got weapons does not mean that they're going to win anything.
Yeah.
I mean, we're as well-trained as they are. Many, many of us went through the military. Many of us have killed people. And many of us know how to handle weapons. And if they think they're going to be effective in doing what they're doing, they're crazy. They're all going to get wiped out. And they best start listening to us, because we don't want them to get wiped out.
That's right.
We want them to be there to help us.
That's right. We're not the ones that just stole $5 trillion and won't say where $2 trillion went. That's in Bloomberg and AP. We're not the ones that did all of this. We're not the bad guys. Turbo, I appreciate your call. Hey, John, I meant to tell you, come in with the martial law clip one. Come in with the martial law clip one right now and then play music after. Do you have time to do that?
Yep, I got that. It's really long, though.
No, we're just going to play the first few minutes of it. The intro, martial law clip one.
All right, here we go.
I'm ready for it. We're actually at the beginning funded by the same people. It's all consolidation. That's all I'm saying.
Good. Thank you.
See, you guys don't care about that.
All right, that's a clip from martial law.
Sounds good to me.
But no, John, it's the other clip I sent you. I sent you two martial law clips. That's the one that had the time code cut out in it. It was the first martial law clip I sent you with the intro to the film.
That's the only one I received.
Oh, I guess the IM didn't send you the other one. Well, c'est la vie. I'll play it at the end of the show. I wanted to play the intro to martial law, 911 Rise of the Police State, where we broke down what was happening in the nation. But Bob Chapman, here it is in the mainstream media, in Bloomberg, in the New York Times. And we have the bankers just openly coming out and saying, we can do whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want, and we are just going to take the money and use it for bonuses, and we are going to buy healthy financial institutions and sports teams and water districts. And they even tell the New York Times that and laugh. These are professional, serious crooks. They're focused. Why the added insult? Is it part of urinating on us like a bigger dog does to a smaller dog to kind of set a precedent?
They're in the open. They've been forced into the open by people like yourself and others who have programs which are similar, writers like myself. And they figure, well, the public knows it now. They're going to hear it if they haven't heard it already. And so let's do what we're going to do. We got the power. We control this vast military system. We control the source of money. We can really do anything we want. So, you know, we don't care what these people think anymore. I mean, we have elections. We control all the candidates with minor exception. And they buy in every single election. And so they do what they want. And it's just arrogance. And we, you know, they've opened the window of opportunity. And they know that. And so what we must do is we must wait for them to cross the Rubicon, so to speak, for them to make a fatal mistake. And I think a fatal mistake would be insurrection in the United States. The minute that starts, believe me, they are at risk. There are thousands and thousands of people out there who know who they are. And if they think they're going to escape this thing, they're crazy.
Bob, I agree. I mean, they would try it with Limbaugh, their main mouthpiece, the fake conservative, to neutralize their main enemy, real conservatives, who know the Bill of Rights Constitution. He would say there's no such thing as a CFR, no such thing as a Bilderberg, no such thing as a Trilateral Commission, no such thing as a New World Order, no such thing as a Rothschild. And now it's just everywhere. And they go, yeah, we're going to have a world government run by private banks. And yeah, we're taking the money and not telling you where it went. And yeah, there's trillions missing from the Pentagon. We're not going to tell. And they tell Congress, we're not telling you. And if you don't pass the bailout, martial law. So you're right. The gauntlet is thrown down because they have to act normal so their bureaucrats and enforcers will follow the orders. It's that, you know, like acting like you're normal, stealing somebody's TV set as you walk out of their apartment and, you know, not running with a TV set so people would think you're acting suspicious. Like, yeah, I'm here with a TV set. Big deal. And so it's kind of like, still, it's amazing to watch them just steal all the money right in front of us and say they're stealing it and tell Congress.
It's incredible. I mean, with trillions of dollars. I mean, we get people in prison, and rightly so, who committed an armed robbery and got $157. Now, maybe they had a knife, maybe they had a gun, and they're doing 5 or 10 years in jail. And these people don't take $157. They don't use a weapon, although their position is a weapon. They just go out and steal trillions. It's beyond imagination. Crime has now become, along with lying, socially and politically acceptable.
Yeah, the public was trained that it's cute that Clinton lied and cute that Bush lies. And no, it's not cute, folks, because then society breaks down and we become a third world country when confidence is lost. You know, America's not perfect, but we were the most upright. We were the most trustworthy in business until about 50 years ago. And that's why business thrived here. And the main reason was if you cheated somebody in business, they would normally come shoot you. I mean, you know, going back to the family annals, I mean, I had great-great-great-grandpas and people that, you know, you'd read about, you know, at the county seat in their history department, and would go shoot somebody or go beat them to death, you know, with an axe if somebody cheated them. So people were polite because people would kill you if you cheated them. And then now it's just like it's funny and cute. Kill all those Iraqis. Good. I'm glad they're dying. Good. Steal all the money. Steal the oil. Don't those people get that they're going to be screwed as well?
Well, that's what I was just saying. We have a long list, and they are not going to escape. And half of America will probably die in the process, but they're going to get theirs. And all their power is going to be gone. It's just going to be like 1348 when the Lombard system collapsed. The same group of people ran in terror.
But they regrouped and came back again. I want to go to some calls and put you on hold for just a minute, Bob, because I'm going to plug some sponsors here for just a moment. And then we're going to go back to your calls. Now, I know a lot of these callers were holding from before the time Bob was here, but we've got him here to take your financial questions. He can speak on any issue, but I'm going to just run through Aaron, Dwayne, Jim, and David's calls, and then anybody else who has financial questions right up to the end with Bob Chapman. Before I do that, I want to tell you about New Vitality. New Vitality is just a fabulous vitamin mineral nutrition company. They have hundreds of well-documented products that have nutritive and health effects. No magic claims, no magic bullets, just high-quality products. Like their aloe vera body cleanse, aloe vera and 29 other herbs that are known to detoxify and flush your guts out, flush your intestines out, flush your colon out. It is so important. 800-569-4056, 800-569-4056. Or go to newvitality.com. If you forget the banner, there's one up on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. They have Super Beta Prostate and just scores of other great products. Check them out or give them a call and get a free catalog or brochure. 800-569-4056, 1-800-569-4056, and fortify your immune system. And again, you can go to newvitality.com that we have up on the screen for you right there. And there's also another great sponsor, Food Shortage USA. Food Shortage USA. Phase one of the insider's plan for a one-world government has been initiated. With the recent bailout, international bankers and power brokers have engineered the current crisis to create a new currency and a new world bank to act as savior. But we've only seen the beginning. The insiders have discovered that they must control two things to seize control of power. One is world currency, which we are currently being prepared to accept, and the other is food. We are witnessing the engineered financial crisis, folks. Don't wait until it's too late. Go to foodshortageusa.com to learn how to make your own storable foods for you and your family to prepare for the road ahead. The website reveals a step-by-step way for the average person to get prepared for what's ahead. I think the best part about the system is that it gets you off the food grid, even if you don't have a lot of money to spend. The site is foodshortageusa.com. It's not too late. You can still prepare by learning how to make your own survival foods, and you can do it for pennies on the dollar. Go to foodshortageusa.com or 877-327-0365, 877-327-0365, foodshortageusa.com. And don't forget Bob Chapman. Bob Chapman will give you online a free copy of his twice-a-week digital, and it's very lengthy and very detailed and riveting information, very important, at theinternationalforecaster.com. Or you can get a free hard copy by calling this toll-free number. Bob, please give them the toll-free number to get a free copy, complimentary copy of the latest International Forecaster.
Now that number is 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178. And you can get either kind, either the hard copy or the email version by calling that number. And there's one thing I'd like to interject here. I don't normally do this, but I've been taking Beta Prostate for 15 years, and I'm 73 years old, and I function perfectly. And I got a PSA test about a month ago, which the AMA says you don't need at my age because you're going to die anyway. But the doctor told me that I had a condition which was my physical being was like a 25-year-old man. And Beta Prostate had a lot to do with that.
Well, yeah, this is a huge company, a huge sponsor for us. I mean, I'm not kidding. I don't just take any vitamin company. This is the big mainline, the stuff that's proven. A lot of doctors prescribe Super Beta Prostate or similar products. I mean, it's 30 herbs, but the main one is the Saw Palmetto, very strong. And for some reason, with the stuff we eat and the things we do, by the age of 45, the prostate gets the size of a golf ball and it's associated with cancer, erectile dysfunction, the list goes on and on. And yeah, I only plug things I know are important for people. And so that's why we push that. So again, newvitality.com. Thank you. Bob didn't know you were taking Super Beta Prostate, but millions of people do. I mean, this is real stuff here. I want to take calls here for the last 15 minutes, Bob, but so much is happening. We see the market going up and down every day. As confidence, I mean, I guess the elite don't care if confidence is being lost because they'll just blame that on their next puppet, Barack Obama. Or where do you see this crisis in confidence going? Right now, Congress has this this 9% still, but Obama, he does have about a 50% confidence rate right now. But as soon as they realize he's a con man, they will lose the confidence. What's going to happen with that honeymoon?
It's going to be devastating. Normally, when somebody takes office, it's ebullience, and usually the ratings will vary anywhere from usually 60 to 77%, and then the honeymoon's over, and then they find out what they're going to do, and things change sometimes, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they stay strong, so to speak, those ratings. But I think they're going to find out that they're going to get relatively the same program from the neocons had from Mr. Obama, if not more socialistic in nature. And their trust and confidence in government, which is poor as it is, will drop even more. I'm looking at short-term unemployment of 10% the coming year, and that may be very conservative. Based on government figures, the U6 figure will probably be about 14.8%. The long-term unemployment figure will probably be somewhere around 19%. There are going to be a lot of unhappy people out there who didn't listen to us in this program and programmers like it and get themselves out of debt, get their house in order, get the things in that they need to protect their children, feed them. All of what we're telling you, you know, we don't get paid to do this. We do this because we want to help you. And so do what we're telling you because you're going to need it.
Bob, I mean, you're saying depression within 2.5-3 years, basically guaranteed. More and more mainline analysts are saying that. The only debate is how bad is it going to get? A lot of them are now saying, like I said earlier, road warrior type scenarios, total breakdown. I mean, is it going to get that bad?
Could be. Nobody knows. That's possible. And again, that's why you've got to do those things. You've got to be prepared. And it's like an insurance policy. If it doesn't happen, you can sit back with a sigh of relief and say, well, this, that, and the other thing happened and short-circuited it, and we don't need this food. Now we can go and eat it all. Or we can go out and shoot rabbits with the rifles. Or we hope that we don't have a hurricane so that we have to use this pump. And that's okay. It's just buying an insurance policy.
Well, the good news is the Patriots, if all this comes down, which it looks like it is, the people that know about the New World Order, we're going to be positioned better than the general public. But that's also going to make us targets for robbery and all sorts of stuff. So we've also got to realize that. But it's better to be prepared and face that than not be prepared and just lay back. Let's go to Aaron in Washington. You're on the air with Bob Chapman, Aaron.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, listen, I've got a couple of things I wanted to bring up. Bob, I've got a question for you. With the financial crisis that's going on, do you expect them to, for instance, change the bankruptcy laws so when it really starts hitting the fan and people are losing their houses even more than they are now, plus all their unsecured credit card debts and things like that, and they have no way to pay because they just lost their job, do you foresee them changing the bankruptcy laws to further implement slavery and bondage through debt?
Could be. It's hard to say. They can do anything they want. So it's possible and probable that they might do something like that.
Well, Bob, that's what concerns me, is that if they'll steal $5 trillion and not even say where $2 trillion went and say, yeah, we lied to you and we're going to take more, what are they going to do next? I mean, every month it's some new horror, and they're openly talking about in hearings last week and this week, and now that we actually sent off the C-SPAN and got them, we have them for an upcoming film, and they're talking about taxing pension funds and 401ks and taking over pension funds, and then they'll pay you a Social Security check out of your own private fund and take part of it. I mean, Bob, you know, they just did that in Argentina. I mean, the same crew, do you think they could actually get away with that?
They can get away with anything they want, short of revolution. And they will push the people far enough, and that will happen. And maybe... It's possible that could happen.
And the cops are going to gun down old people that are mad their pension funds have been taken. Or will the old folks buy the propaganda of we're taking it to keep it safe, and now we're going to tax it, and now we're going to take part of it. And we'll just go, okay, I mean, where does the raping stop?
It stops when the first shot gets fired. And then people will start thinking, look, I don't have anything left and I don't have anything to lose. It's the rat in the corner. You don't put them there. And that's what they're going to do. They're not that smart. We're just as smart as they are. And they're going to make mistakes.
But they're arrogant bastards. They know people are going to revolt. They've been preparing. They want to have a revolt, Bob. But I agree with you. I think they're underestimating their power.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'll be back in the middle of it, even at my advanced age.
Well, the problem is most of the people that will get killed in a revolt are just going to be cops that don't even know what they're part of. But, that's the final equation is that you know, the real elites are living in Switzerland.
There's no way that we can't find them. Believe me.
No, I understand that.
And people are going to be disturbed and writing and doing the same thing in every country in the world. Some countries will be let off easily. Their populations won't, be as aggressive.
All right.
They won't be injured as much. But in America, it's a Wild West society, and they're different than other people. And I can assure you, it'll be the biggest there.
Yep, a lot of boss hogs are going to be in trouble, but the mothership hogs I don't think will be unless we identify who they are. But we want to stop all of this. We're going to skip this break, too. Okay, does that answer your question, Aaron?
As you know, the funny thing is my opinion is that these people that are in charge, I think that they want to at some point go completely out in the open and say, guess what? It's us. You knew it was us all along, and now we're telling it to you. It's us. And you know, because...
And if you don't do what we say, we'll release Digonian 12, the death virus.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you think they'd really do that?
These people are founded by Lucifer. You know, these people are evil incarnate on this planet.
Now, criminals love to celebrate their evil. That's true.
Oh, they do. And, you know, they want to show people that it's them. You know, evil doesn't want to hide underneath a rock. They actually want to be out there because that's when they know they have the most control over people, is when they can openly everything they want to do.
That's a really great point, the criminology of criminals. You know, there's some people that steal to survive or whatever, and then they feel guilty about it. But your real criminal enjoys fooling people. They enjoy, my dad always said there's folks that'd rather cheat you out of a quarter than make a dollar with you. And they enjoy it. They love it. And Bob, is that also part of why they're flaunting it in front of our face?
Yes, it's the pathology of a psychopath, and that's just exactly what they are. We lightly call them sociopaths, but they're psychopaths.
All right,
who would want to get rid of whole populations, not normal people?
Absolutely, I appreciate your call. Let's go ahead. I want to show the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers here on the document cam. This is out of the Houston Chronicle, and it says DPS aims for driver's license checkpoints, and it says they're going to set them up all over the state, but they spin it and claim some say it could be for illegal aliens, knowing it would be popular for the public, to do that. But this is a trick. This is not, if you read the fine print, for the illegal aliens. This is for the general citizenry. So there is the article, DPS aims for driver's license checkpoints. Here's one that Steve Watson did that details it. Even more for people that are out there watching. It says a Texas agency wants to set up statewide driver's license checkpoints. Motorists would be required to prove legal U.S. residency as well as part of that. So that's how they seduce us. You know, we get so tired of the illegal aliens running around screaming Viva La Raza and the rest of it that we then beg for this, just like they put in thumb scanners in the 90s here, but it wasn't for the illegal aliens. Bob?
No, it's for everybody, and they'll let the illegal aliens go anyway. They just want to exert control. Now, this is part of the metal picture of a police state.
Absolutely. Let's rampage through a few final calls for the full audience when we come back. Right now in the final segment with Bob Chapman, I'm Alex Jones.
Keep on forcing and fighting. They don't want to see.
I want to take your calls, but it's hard to turn this song off. All they want us to do is keep on killing one another. Top rankers. Top rankers. Are you skanking? If you love yourself, you truly love others, not these fake materialistic New World Order people. Thank you for joining us in the final segment here today with Bob Chapman. Let's take a few final calls here as quickly as possible. Let's talk to Dwayne in Ohio. You're on the air, Dwayne. Go ahead.
Alex, thanks for having me.
You bet.
Yeah, I got a couple things I want to say. First, I'm a veteran. You know, there's a movement out to disarm veterans because we're unstable people.
No. Clinton started it. Bush expanded it. And they've people with no criminal record going to buy a gun, grandpas, Korean War vets, and they're being turned down.
Absolutely, because, you know, us crazy veterans who served our country, you know, they're afraid of us is what it is.
There's also moves to disarm retired cops. I mean, people, cops and military, figure it out. You're with the people whether you like it or not. You better just go ahead and realize that and throw in with us.
Oh, I'm there. Hey, I got a thing that says ATS on the back. It stands for Anti-Tyranny Squad.
Absolutely.
And I guess I'm one of those homegrown terrorists because I have a bumper sticker, a huge 8x11 sticker on the back of my truck that says Congress obey the Constitution. And I guess in New Mexico, that's illegal.
Well, you know, I never got to this on the show. We have CNN today admitting that what we told you a decade ago, that if you protest in any way or even have a table at a farm fair with any political view, even Rotary Club level, the state police nationwide under federal funding try to infiltrate you and spy on you and put you in a homegrown extremist camp. Anyone who's politically active, that's seen as being abnormal. The American birthright, it's only normal to watch TV, do nothing. And they're announcing it on CNN to intimidate people. And a sports writer who went and tabled for just a mainline event at a fair, he got investigated and tracked by and again, they're announcing this to intimidate the public. Don't be intimidated. Say, yeah, you bet. We're investigating you. If you let them cow us, they're going to win. See, they're acting like it's dirty and bad. Bob, final comments on that.
I think you're absolutely right. The days of voicing political opinion are coming to a close. And you saw it at the conventions. You described it with the imposition of police being planted and police beating planted policemen. And it's just all part and parcel of the same thing.
How would you
and
get a cop?
Worse and worse.
How would you get a cop to go stage an attack on other cops to ban free speech? I mean, how would you feel good at night? I mean, it's in the Denver Post. They admit they do it.
It's just incredible. And it's being done all over the country.
Well, I've caught them myself. I just don't understand how you would sell out for a paycheck. Bob Chapman, thanks for joining us. Talk to you next week. We appreciate your time.
Oh, I appreciate being here. Bye-bye.
What a great guy. TheInternationalForecaster.com. My websites are InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. This holiday season, this Christmas, give them DVDs and books from InfoWars.com. Give the gift of reality, the truth. Get my films. Make copies of those. Give them to people. I don't care. Give them a PrisonPlanet.tv membership. You can get 5 months free right now. It's our Christmas special, holiday special. 5 months, it's 5.3 months free, actually, right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. And there's so much media. It's so high quality. Rebroadcast with all the guests we had on today. Colonel Craig Roberts and others starts now at InfoWars.com. See you back tomorrow live. God bless you.